offence, but being gay is. Who wouldn't want to live there? I prefer London, and I will always prefer the UK to any other option, and when terrible things happen, the temptation to turn it into something that it isn't appears to be increasingly irresistible for a large number of people, so much so that the police now release the ethnicity of suspects in horrible events in order to quell online far-right lies, exaggeration or embellishment. Do they have any choice? Unhinged Headlines is back, sort of, and I'm drawn also to a story about just how difficult it really is to get a job in this country at the moment.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 10 o'clock, a man's been charged over Saturday's knife attack on a train in Cambridgeshire. 11 people were injured. One person remains critical but stable in hospital. LBC's reporter George Ike has more details.
32-year-old Anthony Williams of Langford Road in Peterborough stands accused of 10 counts of attempted murder, one count of actual bodily harm, one count of possession of a bladed article in connection with the incident. We've also found out this morning he's charged with another count of attempted murder and possession of a bladed article. Now, that's in connection to a separate incident at Pontoon Dock DLR station in the early hours of Saturday morning.
More than 80 passengers have been led to safety after a train derailment in Cumbria. Part of the Glasgow to Euston service came off the tracks near the village of Shap this morning. No injuries have been reported, but disruptions expected on the West Coast main line for the rest of today. Israel has confirmed the identities of three hostages whose bodies it received from Hamas yesterday. They say they were Israeli soldiers. Israel is seeking the remains of 11 more hostages who are still in Gaza. A nine-month-old baby's died after being attacked by a dog in southeast Wales. Emergency services were called to a property in Rogget in Monmouthshire last night. The animal has been seized, but the breed is yet to be identified. The Society of Radiographers has raised concerns about what it calls unsafe high street clinics offering baby scans. It says some are run by people who are not professionally trained. Katie Thompson is a senior sonographer in Swindon and says it can lead to medical emergencies being missed.
I had a lady referred to me because they told her she'd had a miscarriage and they'd actually measured a bleed next to the pregnancy sac and the baby was fine. It was very early, it was 6 weeks, but the baby was fine.
The Department of Health says regulation is kept under review. And Ryanair has revealed soaring earnings after increasing its airfares and introducing bigger planes. The airline reported pre-tax profits of £2.6 billion for the first half of the financial year. That's up 40% on the same period last year. In the city, a short time ago, the FTSE 100 was trading up 9 at 97.26. The pound buys $1.31 and a euro 13. LBC weather, windy and cloudy for most, some heavy rain for northern areas, a high of 14 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Dominic Ellis.
Chase is the digital bank that could boost your savings.
Ooh, tell me more.
When you join Chase, you could earn 4.5% AER variable. That includes a 2% AER fixed boost for 12 months on top of our standard saver rate.
Oh yeah, nice.
Yep, our savings boost could help you reach your goals, like that once-in-a-lifetime adventure. Get our best easy access saver offer today. Search Chase Boosted Saver. Offer may be withdrawn at any time. 18 plus UK residents available to new current account customers for your first 31 days. Eligibility applies. 4.41% gross. Terms apply.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with James O'Brien.
Good morning. It's 3 minutes after 10. I hope you had a splendid weekend. How often do you wonder, do you ever wonder, what were we like before our brains were collectively boiled by events, whether it is the madness of some relatively recent political decisions or the proliferation of unregulated online propaganda and misinformation? How 10 years ago would we have reported or responded to the horrific events on that train coming out of Peterborough at the weekend? And remember, charges have now been brought, so we can talk about quite correctly, very, very few aspects of that now developing case. And we have to talk about suspects until convictions are secured, or suspect singular. And anybody who doesn't understand that is probably listening to the wrong radio program, but will no doubt be able to avail themselves of all manner of misinformation and prejudice fueling fury online. And I don't know the answer. I'd like to think that the heroism of one of the members of staff would have been even more prominent. I honestly don't know. Who does know? I'd like to think that this man who acted in incredibly quick thinking, the driver, indeed, of the train, the former Royal Navy operative, became a train driver in 2018. It was him that asked for the diversion to Huntingdon so that passengers could get off the train and police could arrest the knife man, the alleged knife man. And you think perhaps that would be the main headline rather than a little insert in the story 10 years ago? But of course, that is not how it works. A lot of the coverage today, once the details have been established, move immediately to the various claims and counterclaims about how the police handle the ethnicity of suspects in major incidents. That's extraordinary, isn't it, when you just pause for a moment to think about it. Police forced to disclose to battle far-right speculation is one headline, and police should have released nationalities of suspects far quicker, says Chris Philp. I mean, there is a lot of competition, but to become the most ridiculous Conservative in the country is clearly a mission that Chris Philp has set himself. The police should have released identity details by now, as they said should happen, and as happened in other recent cases. How, I mean, and inevitably Farage pops up. We need to know who committed these awful attacks as soon as possible. To which one response, I think, would be why? So that people can be encouraged to go and set fire to asylum seeker hotels again, full of people that had absolutely nothing to do with any of these events? Why do you want to know? Because it will hopefully fulfill my deep and abiding hatred of foreigners or immigrants or asylum seekers. Well, what if it turns out to be someone who is none of those things? As, of course, was the case in Southport, when people did set fire to buildings full of people who had absolutely nothing to do with the atrocity. Why do you want to know? Has anyone actually stopped to wonder that? Because what we do know is that police are being forced effectively to disclose the ethnicity of suspects, precisely because people like Philp and Farage want to make something of it. But one thing I've noted is that when people turn out to be British, as was the case in Southport, and as appears to have been the case over the weekend, when suspects turn out to be British, it doesn't actually change anything. So what does this really achieve? What does it stop people doing? Why do you want to know? Does it hurt more? Does it change the nature of the offence? Do the families grieve less according to the ethnicity of a perpetrator or an alleged perpetrator? It's a funny one. I don't know that they have any choice. They have to, and this is a report from another newspaper, the third headline in the same space, how police sought to quell web speculation. When reports emerged about multiple stabbings on an LNER train on Saturday night, the first question many asked was, is this a terrorist attack? And I don't think you will be cross with me if I suggest some people, perhaps the people who are most desperate to know the ethnicity of suspects, some people seem to really hope that it is, don't they? Have I got that right? Am I going a bit mad? But some people seem to really hope that it is a terrorist attack. Some people, no doubt, will still claim that it was, or that it is. The definition of what constitutes a terrorist attack is fairly clear. But the last time this happened was when a car was driven into a crowd of people in Liverpool. Again, a live and unfolding case. But it ceased to be a terrorist attack, or people ceased to believe it would be, although I'm sure online you can find people who think that that has been misrepresented and misreported as well. But it's a funny one, isn't it? So this is a proper change that has happened in our society. And I think all I really want to do this morning is ask you whether it's a change for good or a change for bad. So when a terrible thing happens, now, the police feel that they have to disclose ethnicity of suspects. In this case, a 32-year-old black British national who has now been charged, and a 35-year-old British national of Caribbean descent who has been released with no further action and apparently had absolutely nothing to do with anything. But the ethnicities are now released. I suppose you have to acknowledge that some people will pick up on the fact that this suspect is black and somehow managed to turn that into racist propaganda or racist embellishment, just as they did in Southport. But, I mean, I think we're all pretty clear on what the word British means. Even the racists will allow black people to be British. It's just English that you're not allowed to be if you're Rishi Sunak. Suella Braverman won't let herself be English. I'm allowed to be British, but I'm not allowed to be English. So we're all pretty clear on what British means, and yet they feel the need to release the Britishness in order to establish that it's presumably not somebody recently arrived here, or not somebody here having had their asylum application rejected or waiting for their asylum application to be processed. What does it achieve? I wondered after Southport what happens when an atrocity is undertaken by somebody who does fit the template of the racists. Somebody commits a terrible crime who is waiting for their asylum application to be processed, or who is here illegally or irregularly. I mean, who is responsible for that attack, except the person who did it? Well, I think in the minds of people like Farage and Philp, unless they tell me otherwise, the desperation to know the ethnicity or the identity details of people in these sort of situations is built upon a hope that you can use it to make a point about lots of other people who had absolutely nothing to do with the events. Listen, I often say to you, I hope I'm wrong. And sometimes I say it in a vaguely performative way. And sometimes I say it knowing that I'm not. But today, I really hope I'm wrong. Why would they want to know? Unless, and the police release it to stop lies. But what happens when it's true? What happens when a crime is committed by somebody? I think about school shootings in the United States of America quite a lot. And nobody ever tries to turn that into a political point about the ethnicity of perpetrators or the masculinity of the massive majority of perpetrators. I think latterly there's been an attempt to try and hang it on transgender people, but goodness knows, unsurprising though that is, even by the standards of that discourse, it's pretty desperate when you look at the historical statistics. This desperation, is there any more to it, I wonder, than an attempt to conflate the guilty with the innocent? Is that all it is? 0345 6060973. Is it just to appease racists? To appease people who, if somebody of a certain background commits a crime, are desperate to claim that all people of the same background? It's why that phrase, fighting age men, has become very popular among the desperately hard of thinking. Why don't they say working age men? And yeah, the whole point about the discourse surrounding immigration used to be these people are coming here and they don't want to work. They just want to sign up to our incredibly generous benefit system. Spoiler alert, it's not incredibly generous, but that's never stopped a Daily Mail columnist. And now people who are keen to and capable of working come here. And rather than pointing out that it would be a good idea to let them work, you describe them as fighting age rather than working age. Am I a fighting age man? I'm 53. I mean, in what other context would you describe someone who's 25 as fighting age? A fighting age footballer scored a hat-trick for Carlisle United this weekend. A fighting age pop star has gone to the top of the charts again. A fighting age politician has been elected to the council. I mean, it's nuts, right? Unless you're trying to create the idea that they are all a threat, that they're all a danger, in which case I've got some wonderful advice for you. Try counting. Just do some counting. And then you'll be able to work out exactly what the threat is. Speaking of counting, how many knives do you think were removed from the streets in England and Wales under a new surrender scheme in the last 12 months? Yeah? You're right, 60,000. What percentage do you think knife homicides have fallen by in the same period, the first drop in more than 4 years, in the first year of the current government? Knife homicides have fallen by almost 20%. Knife crime overall has fallen for the first time in 4 years, dropping by 5%. Oh, load of woke nonsense. People just don't bother reporting it anymore. Okay, well, let's look at the NHS hospitals in England and Wales and see if the number of admissions for knife assaults has gone down. Because let's say you're not going to support it, you probably will report it. You're probably going to want to get treated, right? That's down by 10% as well. And yet, every time I open my newspaper or turn on my radio, there's someone from the United Arab Emirates, where Sharia law is literally real, claiming that London isn't safe. Or there's someone from America, where school shootings and street homicides are endemic, claiming that London and the United Kingdom isn't safe. It's insane. So, two or three questions for you. Why are people so desperate to know the ethnicity of suspects? And I think there are only really two answers to that question. Or rather, I think there's only one answer. And it's people like me who are prepared to articulate it, because we're not part of the phenomenon. Why are people so desperate to know the ethnicity and background of a suspect in a terrible crime? Because they're hoping to make points about people not involved in the crime who have shared characteristics with the culprit or the suspect. And of course, if you're one of those people, I don't know that you're going to say that ever out loud. Some will fall off the tightrope, but most of them will pretend that they're just asking questions, or they've got legitimate concerns, or that the security services are keeping things from us to whip up paranoia, bogus victimhood. I wonder what we'd have done 10 years ago, focused on the victims and praised the heroism of the train driver. I don't know. I don't know. I suppose if Irish people got caught up in this kind of activity back in the day, whether they had terrorist affiliations or not, it would probably have been reported differently from how it was for British people, or other British people in the case of people from the north of Ireland. I don't know. So why? Why are some people so keen to know the ethnicity? And do the police have any choice? 0345 6060973. Are the police doing the right thing by doing this? Do they have any choice? That's the thing that really interests me. Because we can sit here and say it's being done to appease racists. It's been done to appease bigots. It's been done to appease political figures, media figures who were desperately hoping. Their fingers were crossed so tightly they got arthritis, desperately hoping that this would be a Muslim, or this would be somebody from a certain, but I really hope it's someone who is here illegally. I really hope that it's someone who is from a certain faith. I really hope it. You know I'm right. Hey, maybe that's not you. I'm sure it isn't. But you don't need me to list the people who could barely conceal their desperate, hideous urge for this to be somebody whose identity would fit their prejudices about everybody in that category. Just for a minute, imagine that was you. Imagine a fighting-age white British man committed a terrible crime, and you woke up the next morning with a deep sense of dread because you knew that people, including prominent politicians, would kind of be trying to blame you for it. They'd kind of be including you in their critique for all fighting-age white British men. The country is full of fighting-age white British men, and we've got to do something about it. Well, what? And that's people who have made their way here from overseas. If you're Muslim, if you're of colour, then you will know that when crimes occur and you share a characteristic with the culprit or the suspect, people somehow think you're on the hook for the crime, or you're on the hook for part of the crime, a little bit of the culpability. So unless you've got a different answer to the question, why do Chris Philp And Nigel Farage yearn to know the identity, if not because they're going to make something of it. Why do the police feel compelled to release the details, if not to appease and hopefully silence liars online, who, of course, will be right one time? There will be a time when it is somebody who fits all the categories, but it never seems to change anything. Doesn't matter how many hideous crimes are committed by British people, the feeling, the narrative is always that it's foreigners. 0345 6060 973 is the number that you need. And if you are a fighting age British radio listener, please feel free to join in this conversation. I wouldn't want you to feel unfairly judged. But tell me, why do people want to know? And should the police be telling them? That's it. Those are the questions. Why are some people so desperate to know, given that when it turns out not to be somebody from the categories they're desperately hoping it will be, they don't change. They just go back to desperately hoping the next atrocity is carried out by somebody with the characteristics they performatively despise. So why do they want to know? And do the police have any choice but to release it? Hit the numbers now, you will get through. 0345 6060 973.
LBC.
This year, Amazon are increasing the electric delivery vehicles we use across Europe to 10,000. It's a difference you'll notice on your doorstep, where babies are made a fuss of. Where we deliver footballs for kids' kickabouts. And where they deliver the football straight into next door's garden. Can they have their ball back, please? We're delivering change where it matters, on your doorstep. Delivery service partner vehicles across the UK and EU.
A safe trip begins with TRIP. Take a road trip with your family, get there safely. Do your trip checks. T, top up on island fuel. R, rest every 2 hours too. I, inspect tire pressure and tread. P, prepare for the weather ahead. A safe trip begins with TRIP. A safe trip begins with...
Think, do the 4 trip checks before every long journey. National Highways.
I'm telling you, raise taxes, that's how.
Cut spending, less waste, more sense.
Move north, get more for your money.
Until winter hits your heating bill.
Fair.
Up to 9.13% annual return. We all agree that's strong.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's hard to ignore.
Cufflink. Auto-invest property-backed from £500. Visit cufflink.com. That's K-U-F-L-I-N-K. Register your interest today. Your capital is at risk. Tax rules apply to IF ISAs and may be subject to change. Cufflink is authorised and regulated by the FCA.
James O'Brien on LBC. Call 0345 6060 973.
What's the best case scenario? Release of details will demonstrate that when terrible things happen, the likelihood is not that they're undertaken by somebody who has made their way here in the back of a lorry or in a small boat. And therefore, the people who dedicate their lives to demonising people who've made their way here irregularly will be quiet and sit down. Seems to me a little bit overambitious. Daniel's in Harrow. Daniel, what would you like to say?
Hello, yeah. I wanted to say to what the question as to why they need to know is because they want to fuel their prejudice. It's
it
as simple
can't
as
just
that.
Be
I
mean, that, can it? Can it really?
I think it is, yeah. I think it is. I immediately saw...
So a fighting age man called Daniel in Harrow...
Yes.
Is accused of committing a terrible crime, and if I've dedicated my life to demonising all fighting-age men called Daniel from Harrow, I'm going to be delighted that you're on the hook for something, because now I can go after all the other ones.
Exactly.
Wow.
Exactly. And I think what's behind it is that they are convinced, these people who want to know and are hoping to God that it is who they think it is.
They are, aren't they? They don't breathe a sigh of relief when it's somebody who doesn't fit there.
No, not at all. And the reason is because they are pinning all their hopes on Farage and reform.
Well, Chris Philp isn't.
I'm sorry?
Chris Philp isn't. I think he's Shadow Home Secretary at the moment.
Well, Chris Philp I can't speak for. I'm not familiar with. But Farage, absolutely. I mean, they're pinning all of their hopes on Farage. He's going to fix everything. He's going to replace Labour, who are the devil. And he is the solution to all of their problems. I will also say that when it turns out not to be who they think it is or who they want it to be, then they do one or two things. They either go quiet or they say it's fake news. And I saw that the first time.
Well, he questioned whether or not the truth was being withheld from us after the Southport attack, prompting former head of counter-terrorism to warn that he was inciting violence, which, of course, subsequently broke out after the killing of those three little girls.
Yeah.
There must be another analysis, mustn't there? I mean, you know, if Chris Philp was here, God forbid, and we said, why are you so desperate to know? And then he'd make some point about the government's immigration policies, and it's a weak point, but it's not quite the same as trying to tar everybody with the same brush. And, of course, Chris Philp would then be open to the observation that he was an immigration minister during some of the worst excesses of the period that he now seeks to critique. It's nuts, right? It's all gone bonkers.
It is, yeah. As I said, Chris Philp, I can't speak
for. No, sure. You can't really speak for Farage either. He normally relies upon Andrew Tate for his information and guidance in matters of national jeopardy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Who wouldn't?
Yeah.
So what, I mean, do the police have any choice? Is it the right thing for the police to do, given that the reason for it is so grim?
I don't think they've been given a choice. I really don't think they've been given a choice, because if it's not who they think it, who they want it to be, if they keep quiet, they're going to assume, okay? They're going to assume that it is who they want it to be. As I said, what I've seen is instances, not only with this one, with the one in Uxbridge when it first happened, with Southport, with all of the incidents that have happened, they don't believe it when it's not who they think it should be, who they want it to be. They don't believe it.
Or they move on.
Donald Trump's playbook.
They're eating the cats, they're eating the dogs.
Yes, exactly. And if anyone disputes it, oh, it's fake news. You know, so really and truly, I don't think the police can win. I think it's a necessary evil that they have to disclose it to try and quell this clamouring for another incident. I don't know. I just will say quickly, there was a series that I watched a few years ago called Hey Thy Neighbour, and it was presented by Jamali Maddox.
Okay.
Are you familiar with him?
No, I should be, clearly.
No, okay. So, Hey Thy Neighbour, it's about hate groups throughout the world. Jamali Maddox is a British comedian.
Okay.
Who, incidentally, is mixed race. He looks slightly Muslim, but he's not.
Okay.
He's mixed race. Anyway, one of the episodes was with the EDL, and there was a guy who was one of the heads of the EDL in his little town. And he said on camera, what we need is another terrorist attack, you know, to fire up this flame.
Yeah.
And whenever I see this thing of an incident happens, people clamoring, wanting to know who it was, hoping that it's a certain type of person, I think of that program that I
really
watched.
Want another terrorist attack. And, of course, I mean, in history, there are examples of them being undertaken by and then pinned on, you know, the Reichstag fire being an example of one individual being essentially used to demonise an entire cohort, an entire demographic. I mean, listen, thank you, Daniel. I kind of rarely mean it more when I say I hope I'm wrong, but if my analysis was half decent, Daniel's was next level. I mean, what other reason would there be? Chris Philp, why do you really want to know the identity of this perpetrator? Well, I want to make some broad points about the government's immigration policy. You mean the mess they inherited from you? Yes, but I can't say that on the radio, James. Obviously, that would be ridiculous. Nigel Farage, why do you want to know the identity of the ethnicity of a suspect in a terrible crime? How would that help the families involved? I don't care about the families involved. I'm sorry, I care deeply about the families involved, but it's very important to know because of Andrew Tate being a very trustworthy news source. Yes. I'm just asking questions. Why? 03456060973. And sadly, do the police have any choice? Kate's in Ramsgate. Kate, what would you like to say?
Hiya, James. Hello. I've never rung before, but
why not?
I had
why
to,
not?
I
do you think I do? Do you think I do this for my own amusement? Do you? Why have you never rung me before? Go on. Sorry.
I listen to you every day,
thank
but
you.
I've never ever got up the courage to ring. But
know.
I was today is so relevant to me. I yeah. have spent the whole weekend arguing with my husband, okay. who will tell you he is so not racist.
Right.
He is just not racist. He doesn't care. He lives in his country.
Yeah.
But as long as they're not foreign, they're not black, and they haven't come over on a boat, basically.
Okay.
And when this incident happened, I got caught. Oh, you never guess what's happened now from downstairs. And I was like, yeah, they've done it again. Yeah, they've attacked all, you know, people on the train. And I said, how do you know? Well, of course it is.
Wow.
And of course, then the report came out.
Did he want
said,
it to be? Did he
yeah,
want...
of course he did. Absolutely.
Right.
The grin on his face, it was like, told you so. Because we have these arguments all the time.
Right.
So every time something happens, immediately, that's who it is.
And when it's a white bloke? And when it's a white bloke?
Ah, well, this is the thing. So then he calls up the stairs,
right.
and I said to him, actually, I'm just listening to on the news. It was an English man born and bred. And he went quiet for a minute.
Yeah.
And then he went, was he white?
Oh.
And I thought, and I was so cross because I wanted to say, yeah. I really wanted to say, yeah, but I couldn't. So I said, no, it was black. Well, there you go. There you go. Told you. Yep.
Wow.
There you
so
go.
So now, I don't know, Jude Bellingham is on the hook for it. Every black man in Britain, every black man
honestly,
in the England team is part of the problem.
If you ask him, he's not, oh, I'm not racist, but we've got to stop these people coming in. And when I go to work, because I'm caring the community, so I come home sometimes quite late at night,
yeah.
and I live in a terraced street, so sometimes there's no parking, so I have to park further away. And he'll ring me and he'll go, how far away are you? Well, I'm going to come walk round.
Yeah.
Why? Oh, it's dark, and there's those people are out there. Yep, yep. Well,
when did
what,
it start? Okay, when did it start?
I think it got really, really this bad. I think when, and I, you know, I can't talk about politicians because I don't know a great deal, but I think
no,
when
Nigel Farage... You know as much as they do. I really...
Well, yeah, I think when Nigel Farage started, you know, all this campaigning and turning up locally, because we live in Ramsgate, so that's quite close to,
yeah.
you know, Dover and all that.
Of
He's
course.
Like, have you seen this? Have you seen this? Oh, this is it. They're all here. Oh, I went up to the shops the other day, couldn't see a white face. And they're all hanging about on street corners. Who are? Who are? You know, and it's just, we had the biggest row all weekend. He thinks I'm just pathetic and I'm woke and I'm this, that and the other and I won't be happy till we're taken over.
Is he online a lot?
Yeah, oh God, all the time.
Right.
He sends me, skip it. I've sent you a little video, have you? That'd be nice. And I open it up and it's do you know what I mean? It's that kind of thing. But it's so, honestly, it's endemic here. My neighbours... We have a neighbour who moved in further down the road who's not of English or, you know, I'm not going to say anything. But now, got to watch out for these people. Yep. Before you know it, all my neighbours will be black, foreign, coming in off the boat.
I'm sorry. It's awful
all
for
of
you.
Them.
I mean, a tiny
it's
little bit.
Horrific.
A tiny little bit of me feels sorry for him, if you understand what I mean by that, because I'm sure he didn't used to be like this, and his life is now... defined by sort of fear and anger and hatred. Albeit that the thing I'm going to take away from your call was the grin on his face when he thought it was a terror attack.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Because it would just justify everything that we row about. It would have just given him that little cherry on top of the cake to go, told you so.
That's tough.
It's a sad world.
It is a sad world, and it's a sad old house, that cake that you described. Karen's been in touch. Karen said, listening to your current caller, I think my husband is leading a double life. She's describing him word for word, so you're not alone.
No, and all his friends are equally the same.
We can add bigamy to bigotry. Bigamy to bigotry. There we go. We've gone for the double. You take care, all right? And I hope
and
it passes.
Thank you,
James. No, cheers, Kate. And I hope you call me again, and I hope that things improve sooner rather than later, because that's what Farage does to families. That's what he does to them. Drives wedges smack in between the two of them. Remember that text I got the other day, and we pressed history on it? And it said, if my wife votes reform, I'll drown her. Oh dear, I'm not asking questions, I'm describing horrific realities. Here's Dominic Ellis with your headlines.
A man's been charged in connection with Saturday's knife attack on a train in Cambridgeshire. Anthony Williams, who's 32 and from Peterborough, is accused of 10 counts of attempted murder. More than 80 passengers have been led to safety after a train derailed in Cumbria. Part of the Glasgow to Euston service came off the tracks near the village of Shap this morning. 4 minor injuries have been reported. And Israel has confirmed the identities of 3 hostages whose bodies it received from Hamas yesterday. Officials say they were Israeli soldiers. LBC weather, windy and cloudy for most today. Some heavy rain in northern and western areas with a high of 14 degrees.
This is LBC.
This Waitrose Wine Lover Week, find your perfect match with 4 for 3 on wine and fizz. Meet our smooth Argentinian Catena Malbec that can handle the rich flavours of roast beef, or the elegant No. 1 Chablis, effortlessly charming with a cheese board. Perhaps your type is more bubbly, like our Cab de Turckheim Cremant d'Alsace, an unforgettable fling for any canapé. Find your perfect wine pairing at Waitrose, the home of food lovers. Selected stores and lines subject to availability exclude Scotland boxed wines and bottles priced £6 or under and £100 or over.
So, what's on your to-do list today? Why don't you check if you're eligible for pension credit? It tops up your pension income and also opens up help with heating bills, council tax, and more. Search pension credit on gov.uk or call 0800 99 1234. There's nothing to lose. Check today. Pension credit. Credit where credit's due. Eligibility criteria apply.
When you're smiling.
Banning Dental Group Clinics, with over 5,000 top-rated Google reviews. Keep on smiling.
Amazon offers term time working to their employees, like Anton, who's home to look after his daughters during their holidays.
Hello!
To him, this is the best sound in the world. Actually, maybe that's the best sound of all. Now that's term time working. Offered at Amazon. 10 weeks off guaranteed per year. Mix of paid holiday and unpaid time off. Conditions apply.
Do you ever feel like getting back under your duvet in the middle of the day? Ferroglobin is a great tasting liquid formula with iron, which contributes to the reduction of tiredness and fatigue and normal formation of haemoglobin. Ferroglobin from Vitabiotics at Boots, pharmacies and vitabiotics.com.
This is LBC with James O'Brien. Call 0345 6060 973. Text 84850. Alexa, send a comment to LBC.
10:36 is the time. Did I misspeak? I don't know that I did, but if I did, I should correct it. It was he was going to drown his wife if she didn't vote reform. I think I may have said he was going to drown his wife if he did vote reform. And Kate, I hope you're still listening, because you have touched one almighty nerve. A number of people who are enduring similar experiences to you with their partners, their husbands most obviously, but also their fathers, a few mums in there as well, who have just bought wholesale into this very carefully cultivated invitation to forget all about the Brexit that they encouraged you to support and vote for, that's made the country considerably less robust and economically secure, and focus now instead on people. Well, you begin with people who've made their way here via small boats, and it extends to everybody of colour, culminating in Kate's husband's enormous grin when he thought a terror attack had happened in Britain. And they call themselves patriotic. And then when it turned out to be a born and bred British man, his desperate hope was that he would also turn out to be black British. And here we are. 10:37. I speak of the suspect in the horrific events on the train out of Peterborough at the weekend. And I wonder, A, why people like Chris Philp and Nigel Farage are so desperate to know. Desperate is the right word as well. Beno Bisjecti, who, it's a very memorable name, he's the Tory MP for the relevant constituency, in this case Huntingdon. I think I've had beef with him in the past, but his intervention this weekend was really powerful and timely and correct. And he described that it was crucial to release information to stop any misinformation and speculation from being spread. Now, that can't be the motivation of Farage and Philp, can it? Certainly not Farage, because last time this happened, he relied upon a master of misinformation and propaganda, the alleged people trafficker and racist Andrew Tate, for his information. So he certainly doesn't want the details to be released in order to stop misinformation. He positively revels in the misinformation while claiming to be just asking questions. So why does he want to know? If you're just joining us, charges have been brought against the single suspect in this case, which colours quite considerably what we can and can't say. I mean, to be honest, that's a bit of a technicality, because I always are enormously on the side of caution in these things, even prior to charges being brought. This really stopped me in my tracks. I mean, it is a contribution that really focuses the mind. Let me read it to you in its entirety, and then we'll go to Arifa in Manchester and Poppy in Hitchin. James, the purposeful conflation is a political weapon, but only for the unthinking voter, writes Carl. After Heysel, the Heysel disaster, Liverpool fans were routinely vilified as hooligans and murderers, regardless of the facts. I.e. all Liverpool fans were put on the hook for the actions of some people who fitted the same description. 4 years later, Hillsborough happened, and the media, reputation and discourse had made it easy to blame Liverpool fans. We still hear it at the match now. A clumsy analogy of what the far-right push into the social consciousness of Britain. They actively hope that people who are Muslim cause destruction to any part of British life to drive that divide, writes Carl in Liverpool. And there it is, the grin on the face of our caller's husband, telling you that real patriots desperately want terror attacks on our shores. And Daniel in Harrow, fighting age man, reminding us that some of them say the quiet part out loud, particularly if they don't realise they're being filmed. What we really need is another terror attack. That'll really get people on our side. In other words, they're on the same side as the terrorists, because they want the population to be terrorised into a position of extremism, which is what the terrorists want. It's not quite as bonkers as calling a radio station from the United Arab Emirates, where Sharia law is real, and claiming that it's somehow better than living in Britain to live in a country where marital rape is not a crime, but being gay is. Sorry, am I sounding woke? Arifa is in Manchester. Arifa, what would you like to say?
Oh, hi, good morning, James.
Hello.
Hi. Firstly, everything what's happened regarding this stabbing, you know, I feel for all the families, you know.
Thank you for that.
Absolutely horrific. But this morning, on my way to work, a friend of mine rang, and she said, thank God, straight away, it wasn't a Muslim, or it wasn't, you know, an immigrant.
Yeah.
That was the first thing we thought of. I think it is important for the police to let everybody know, you know, what ethnicity it is, because if they didn't, everyone would have started going out and protesting, get these immigrants out, I bet it was a Muslim, you know, or Chinese or whatever. It would have given them any excuse to do a protest. But it doesn't matter. If it's someone white and they're stabbing everyone, it's fine. No protest. As long as they're white.
Again, charges have been brought against a man suspected of, or charged with, driving a car into a crowd full of people in Liverpool, and the situation did indeed diffuse very, very quickly. What I think is hard to swallow is the fact that if somebody in a terrible crime turns out to fit the demographic of the racist or the bigots or Nigel Farage fans or whatever you prefer to call them, then we're almost saying, oh, go on then, have another riot, have Farage riots 2.0. And that just might be the most uncomfortable truth of all, is that the 10 crimes occur, two of them fit the template of the racists and the bigots, and on those occasions we will have public disorder, but we can reduce it from 10 to 2 by revealing the identity of people earlier than we used to do. What you don't do is reduce it to zero, because, and this is the bit I hate, Arifa, they're saying to the Farage rioters, oh no, if it is an asylum seeker, then that's okay. Go and set fire to another hotel. Or maybe that's what they hear, but I don't know how you dilute that message.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, no.
But it's true, isn't it? I mean, if thank goodness it's not someone who fits the demographic that they will try to turn into a football. But when it is someone who fits that demographic, the message, it seems to me, is, well, in that case, public disorder is probably inevitable.
True.
It's horrible.
I just think it's just so sad, and the politics and everything. Why is it when you go to different countries, you know, like, say, for instance, you mentioned Dubai.
Yeah.
If you will go to Dubai, there are loads of white English people living there.
Expats, mate, not immigrants, remember. Expats. Living under Sharia law.
Yeah, exactly. But you don't get any racism there. It doesn't matter what colour you are. Well,
You jolly well do if you're a construction worker or you're working in domestic servitude. I mean, absolutely shed loads. The white people might not get any racism there, but I can tell you that the imported workers get absolutely loads. A maid was shot by firing squad not long ago. Yeah, no, I mean, again, it's a carefully cultivated image that is put out there by people who often want to return to the days where indentured labour was the norm. But no, I mean, if the conflation between criminality and characteristic is hideous. But particularly, I think, pronounced here at the moment. Aretha, thank you. It's coming up to 10:45. You're listening to James O'Brien on LBC. Just a reminder of those headlines that focus our attention this morning, not least because we can't talk any more about much detail of the events because of the charges that have now been brought. Police should have released nationalities of suspects far quicker, say the likes of Philp and Farage online. Why? Well, Ben Obese-Jecty, the Tory MP for Huntingdon, answers the question, because that's the only way to stop any misinformation and speculation from being spread. But since when did Nigel Farage have a problem with speculation and misinformation being spread online? It would be a little bit like Mr. Kipling having a problem with cakes. How police sought to quell web speculation. So we are doing this now as a country to try to temporarily shut up the kind of online racist who tweeted to his 5,000 followers that the suspect had shouted Allahu Akbar while on the train this weekend. And I don't know if it makes any difference. You sometimes wonder whether these people know what online is like now, whether or not they realise that it doesn't matter whether you release the... Then it becomes another numbers game, right? So here are the absolute headbangers who are going to claim that it's a cover-up, or are going to claim that it was terrorism, or are going to claim that the government is doing this, that, or the other, and chemtrails, vaccines, and all the rest of it. And then the government constantly seems to be addressing the people they think are reachable. And we constantly seem to be wondering on the programme, who are they, and how many of them are there? The people who aren't grinning manically at the thought of this being a terrorist attack while simultaneously sticking flags up on the lamppost outside and claiming to be patriotic. That's your extremity. How many people are feeling things that have been very carefully cultivated and fermented by the likes of Farage and Philp and the rest of them, but could be rescued? Kate and her husband in the same house. The only difference between them is that he spends his time pickling his brain online, and she spends her time working in care in the community. Are we ever going to find a neater distillation of what's happened to our country than a married couple, one of whom is steeped in hate and spends his life online, one of whom is steeped in love and compassion and spends her life working in care in the community? If I made that up, you'd think I was exaggerating or being simplistic, but you heard it. And that seems to me to describe fairly neatly the dividing lines defining much of our, if not our nation, then our discourse at the moment.
This is LBC.
At TfL, we're making tube journeys faster in the future, with signalling improvements underway on the Circle, District, Hammersmith and City and Metropolitan lines. And there's also the Elizabeth line, already giving you fast journeys across central London. That is how we're making the greener way to travel brighter for everyone. Search TfL Improvement Plan. To the Mayor of London and TfL, every journey matters.
Elizabeth Line is fast compared to other TfL modes. Greener than total estimated petrol and diesel car emissions.
When BP asked me to read the voiceover for their new Wild Bean Cafe ad, I thought I knew what to expect. But when they told me I'd be reading the script next to a mountain waterfall, on horseback, strumming a harp, in a hailstorm, naked, ow, 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 ow. Well, that was wildly unexpected. Just like Wild Bean Cafe having a freshly ground signature espresso blend for everything from Americanos to flat whites in a fuel station. Wowzers. Wild Bean Cafe. Only at BP. Subject to availability at selected BP stores only.
Chase is the digital bank that could boost your savings.
Ooh, tell me more.
When you join Chase, you could earn 4.5% AER variable. That includes a 2% AER fixed boost for 12 months on top of our standard saver rate.
For a whole year, nice.
Yep, our savings boost could help you reach your goals, like that once-in-a-lifetime adventure. Get our best easy access saver offer today. Search Chase Boosted Saver. Offer may be withdrawn at any time. 18-plus UK residents available to new current account customers for your first 31 days. Eligibility applies. 4.41% gross. Terms apply.
Business healthcare sounds pricey.
At Benenden Health, it's less than £16 per employee per month, which
will go up when people use it.
Actually, no. We don't do price hikes each time our services are used. Just
medical questionnaires for everyone.
No. And it's quick and easy to join.
Sounds great. I'm in.
Benenden Health. Healthcare done different. Fee review periodically. T's and C's apply. Selected surgical procedures. Immediate access for businesses. Wait periods apply for personal membership. UK only. Visit benenden.co.uk.
At TfL, we're helping to make bus journeys greener. Our entire bus fleet is 100% low or zero emission at the tailpipe, including those for our Superloop routes, helping improve air quality for all. And we'll have a fully zero emission fleet by 2034. That is how we're making the greener way to travel brighter for everyone. Search TfL Improvement Plan. To the Mayor of London and TfL, every journey matters. Greener than total estimated petrol and diesel car emissions.
James O'Brien on LBC. Listen on your smart speaker. Just say, play LBC.
10:50 is the time, and it's a thing. It's a really big thing, and it hasn't happened by accident, far from it. But the polling on how important immigration is to people is fascinating for one particular reason. If you ask people what the most important cost of living comes top on both counts, but you ask people what the most important thing is in their life and community, what are the biggest issues in your life and community, and then you ask people what are the biggest issues facing the nation, guess what happens? What are the biggest issues in your life and community? Immigration doesn't come in first, doesn't come in second, doesn't come in third, doesn't come in fourth, doesn't come in fifth, doesn't come in sixth, comes in seventh. And that is despite, of course, all of the effort being put into persuading people, like Kate's husband, who I probably should let off the hook a bit now, that his street is under threat, his street is under siege, in his case, because one person of colour has moved in. Ask people about the biggest issues facing the nation. Cost of living comes in first, immigration comes in second. So people are having their brains boiled by things that aren't real. And that means that when something comes along that is real, there is a desperate need for it to fulfill the prejudices and propaganda that have created that complete imbalance between what people actually care about in their real lives and what they think is happening in their country. And that is, again, not an accident. I remember in the run-up to Brexit, looking at the Daily Mail comment section, which I wouldn't advise unless you're wearing goggles, and realizing that the people that are most terrorized are the people that have the least experience of living in diverse communities. Elon Musk's latest outburst, even by his standards, is I need a new word. It's beyond unhinged. Something about villages containing 500 people in the English countryside, and Scottish and Welsh and Irish, being invaded by 1,000 people who start raping everybody. That's the richest man in the world who has turned Twitter into a sort of petri dish for his own deeply vile opinions. This is a bloke Nazi saluting not long ago, remember, at a rally. But if you're the richest man in the world, I guess you get away with that sort of thing in a way that a conservative student would struggle or a UKIP member would not. And just telling blatant lies online. And, of course, the audience is sucking it up, absolutely sucking it up. The number of people describing experiences similar to Kate's is actually breaking my heart. Doesn't make me go, yes, there are so many good people out there. It makes me go, that's awful, because those houses must just be, I mean, I hope you can almost agree not to talk about this stuff for Christmas, for example. Do you remember the caller we got? How long ago was it? Gary will remember. Gary Burton, decorator to the stars. He will remember because he's got a memory on this sort of stuff that far transcends mine. But we took a call a few years ago from a woman. No, from a man. A man. I told you my memory wasn't what it used to be. Who just described himself as having been exactly like Kate's husband. I was up for all of this stuff, up to and including the EDL. And my wife gave me an ultimatum. She said, look, you've got to sort yourself out, otherwise we're going to have problems. Otherwise we're going to have a chat about our future. And he said, and I was fine within a week. I said, what on earth did you do? Can we see if we can find this call? I'm getting quite nostalgic now at the age of 53 for some of the greatest hits from the past. We played one last week, didn't we? The bloke who voted Brexit because of all the brown faces behind the tills in his local supermarket. Do you remember this fella? Of course you don't. I only had about 500,000 listeners back then. And he just said, I put the laptop under the sofa, James, and I left it there. I just put my laptop away. And now my marriage is back on course. I'm no longer consumed by hatred and bile. And my wife is looking at me like she used to look at me. It's extraordinary how easy it is. But that grin, you see, that what is being fed, I really want this. I'm patriotic and I really want more terror attacks. Riddle me that. Poppy's in Hitchin. Poppy, what would you like to say?
Hello, James.
Hello.
Good to speak to you. I basically, I was sat on the edge of my seat yesterday feeling a little bit worried, and I think it's from everything that you've touched upon, and your previous caller as well mentioned it. It's this kind of like sense of anxiety all the time around news and what we're being fed, basically. Yep. And for me, it was, am I safe to go to the local town? Am I safe to go to, you know, I'm worried about my kids going. I know it sounds really silly and possibly a bit paranoid, but after the protests and everything, after Southport, I'm waiting for the next kind of big thing. Is it going to kick off? Is there going to be protests?
I think more people were terrorised by the Farage riots last summer than were by any crime last year.
Yeah.
Weren't they?
Yeah,
because, you know, there were, I mean, even the ones that didn't happen, where the again, online misinformation said there's going to be a massive protest here and there's going to be 50 protests there. And in the event, I mean, certainly in my neck of the woods, it was sort of three men and a dog turned up in a local pub and realised that they were going to be far outnumbered by people telling them to sling their hook. But you're right, I hadn't thought of that. I mean, setting fire to hotels, trashing residential areas, lobbing bins around the street, attacking the police, throwing bricks. There was much more terrorizing as a consequence of the online misinformation and the lies peddled by people like Tate and the quotes, questions asked, end quotes, by people like Farage than would have been caused by a crime itself. I'd never thought of that before.
Yeah, to be honest, I think I'm worried for my kids. You know, I have a 14-year-old and an 11-year-old, and they hear all this bile on the news, and, you know, it's really difficult because you're trying to justify, well, everything, politics and how that links into, you know, what people, you know, my kids are asking me, well, what is immigration? And I'm trying to explain, well, it's difficult, and it's, you know, in the age of kind of 24-hour news and stuff, it is kind of anxiety-inducing, and that's how I found it yesterday. You know, I was kind of questioning.
So you're relieved when it turns out not to be terrorism, or when it turns out not to be ideologically driven, or somebody who, you know, the best efforts of racists to pretend that a black British person is indicative of some sort of bigger fact notwithstanding. You're relieved when it turns out not to be the kind of character that some people are desperately hoping it was.
Yeah. I'm relieved.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
But I can see it from, you know, to your kind of producer there, you know, there was two points. There was my side, which is why I felt kind of relief. And then there was the other side of, well, when I step into the side of the online racists and you know, people who wear that kind of hat, you know, I can see why they want to add more fuel to the fire.
Of course they do.
They want to, you know.
Racism is always lying. Racists are always liars. Here's Nick in Cambridge to prove some of your point. I bet you and your ilk wouldn't be complaining if the police revealed he was white, would you, James? We had exactly the same phone in, I think, after the events in Liverpool. Does it help? Is it not actually creating a world in which people like Nick will feel they've been given permission to set fire to hotels full of asylum seekers in the event of an attack being undertaken by somebody who does fit the demographic of the racists and the bigots, like Nick in Cambridge? So it's there. I mean, you can find it. I don't even need to go online. I can find it in my inbox. And I almost said happily, because I certainly don't want to dip my toe in the sewer that Twitter has become since Elon Musk bought it. Thank you, Poppy. Celia's in Northwood. Celia, what would you like to say?
Hi, James.
Hello.
Hi. I just wanted to say and give a bit of an insight into something that I've discovered recently. My partner is black, British. And I've only been with him for 3 years.
Okay.
And since I've been with him, especially during this period, he's taught me so much, and I have had such an insight into how he feels. Last night we were together and we saw what came up on the news. He said to me this before, he was just praying that it wasn't going to be somebody who's coloured or black. And he had his head in his hands, and it was just yet again that feeling for him that he gets lumped in with that. He said things to me like he doesn't feel British enough. He was born here. He's contributed all his life. He's worked all his life. He's an amazing man. He's really kind. And it's just, I've been given this insight into how it must feel to be British but black. And the difficulty, because he automatically gets lumped in with, you know, with people's opinions about migrants and immigration. He's explained to me things like, you know, he walks out his door and sees lots of flags around and how it feels like when it's like what it was like in the 70s.
Yeah.
And how all of this kind of hatred and has built up again. And it's just that he's now got to live through this again. Or it's not that it ever really went away. But it's like it's giving people permission to speak up again, because people like Farage are articulating and being very vocal about this.
Yes.
So it's almost like it's giving people an excuse.
There's no almost about it. And of course, the next response is to claim that you can't talk about this stuff without being called racist, which is odd, because we talk about it all the time on this program. No one's ever called me a racist.
Absolutely. And it's to the point he wants to leave the country now. It's his country. He was born here. And it's heartbreaking to see. And I've got a real insight to this because I've been with him and I've not experienced that before. But it's opened my eyes so much, and it's heartbreaking.
He knows. I've got a tweet here from someone's just sent me from a prominent Brexiter, but they've sent me a screenshot from Twitter, so I'm not going to read it out until I've double checked its provenance. But it would prove your point and your partner's justify your partner's position absolutely completely from one of the very prominent people, apparently. And as I say, I'll double check, but I've got no reason to doubt it, who has spent much of the last 10 years claiming that their Brexit and their opinions and their ideology wasn't remotely racist. I think we're edging ever closer now to the point that Steve Bannon wanted us to reach a few years ago, which is when people accused of racism actively embrace the accusation. I really do. Celia, thank you. 11:01 is the time. I know, and I should mention this, I don't want to pick Celia up on it because she clearly meant no offence by it, but a lot of people are discomforted and offended by the use of the word coloured in this context, which of course is evidence of the care you have to take when having these conversations. But funny that we have these conversations all the time without ever being accused of racism. Do you know why that is? It's because we're not racists. So if you find yourself talking about immigration and being accused of racism, do you know why that is? Yeah, it's because you are racist. It's funny, isn't it? I think I heard a caller today, and I may have misheard because I don't have my full focus on the radio, but I think I heard a caller to Nick say that we haven't been allowed to talk about immigration for years. And I mean, that would be funny if we weren't living through such troubling times. Literally nothing else has been on the conversational agenda for almost as long as I can remember. Certainly for as long as I've been doing this job. It's come and gone. Immediately after Brexit, oddly, it disappeared for a while because they'd achieved what they wanted to do. The racist provocations had delivered the nation-damaging results that all the patriots desperately craved. It's weird, isn't it? How patriotic are you? Oh, I really wanted to become the first population in history to vote to impose economic sanctions on itself, and I dream of terror attacks on my own people. Right. I wonder what unpatriotic looks like.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom, a man has been charged over Saturday's knife attack on a train in Cambridgeshire. Anthony Williams, who's 32 and from Peterborough, is accused of 10 counts of attempted murder. He's also been charged over a separate knife attack at a DLR station in London earlier on Saturday. Transport Secretary Heidi Alexander has told LBC that security at stations will be reviewed, but any changes will be proportionate.
I've heard some people talking, for example, about introducing airport-style scanning technology, and I don't think that's practical in a country where you've got thousands of stations. Every station will have multiple entrances, multiple platforms.
Four people have suffered minor injuries after a train derailed in Cumbria. It happened near the village of Shap early this morning. More than 80 passengers were escorted from the train. James was on the service, which was heading from Glasgow to Euston, and has spoken to LBC.
All of a sudden, there was a big flash and a bang, and I was like, what's going on? Quickly on the tannoy, like, we've hit something. And then shortly after, they said that... there had been like a landslip and we've hit it, and a lot happened very quickly.
Disruptions expected on the West Coast Main Line for the rest of today. A pregnant British teenager held over drug smuggling offences in Georgia is to be released from prison. Bella Mae Cully, who's 19 and from Teesside, was arrested in May. Her family recently paid £130,000 to try and shorten her jail term. Israel has confirmed the identities of three hostages whose bodies it received from Hamas yesterday. They say they were Israeli soldiers. The remains of eight more hostages are still in Gaza. And separately, the Foreign Secretary is travelling to Jordan today to call for more aid to reach Gaza following last month's ceasefire. Yvette Cooper announced the UK will provide an extra £6 million of humanitarian support for the territory. In the city a short time ago, the FTSE 100 was trading up 11 at 97.29. The pound buys $1.31 and €1.13. LBC weather, windy and cloudy for most today. Some heavy rain for northern and western areas with a high of 14 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Dominic Ellis.
Some companies try to reel people in by promising quick cash if you pay them to claim work expenses. But think twice before taking the bait, because they might just want to land a commission, and it turns out you aren't eligible to claim anything. You'll have to pay HMRC back, and it's unlikely the company will refund any fees. So don't get caught out. Check if you're eligible and make a claim with HMRC for free online. Just search, don't get caught out.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with James O'Brien.
It is 6 minutes after 11 and you are listening to James O'Brien on LBC. I don't know what to do next. I'm torn, actually. Should I be this honest with you? Should we know in advance what it is that we're planning to? I've got a cracker of a missed information for you. I mean, a real cracker. The Daily Mail have taken leave of their senses over this Rachel Reeves renting out her house story. It's actually a spectator sport. It's magnificent. And there's a return of sorts of the unhinged headline, although I'm not the only one to note that the Telegraph's decision, because it must be deliberate, to stop publishing headlines that are absolutely insane, may not be a coincidence. I'm certainly not the only one to notice that it's happened, and someone actually sent me a note this weekend with a theory of why it has happened, which is extraordinary, because they deny us our fun. They're terrible spoil sports over at the Telegraph. We've had so much fun with unhinged headlines, you know the kind of thing. Liz Truss is a genius, and anybody who says otherwise is a big smelly poo. That kind of thing, that they came perilously close to actually printing on many occasions. I think I want to talk about Andrew Windsor's medals. I don't have much by way of military knowledge. I have next to nothing by way of military experience. I was the world's worst RAF cadet for 2 years in the early 1980s, and I'm not exaggerating. I read this morning that he is going to, or he could lose his Falklands medal along with his rank. And I've got two thoughts on this. The first is, that does that happen to ordinary people who haven't been convicted of any crimes? Can you lose any of your military honours up to and including your honorary rank? Because I think that the royals get a sort of extra promotion. If they're working members of the royal family, they're promoted in line with peers after they leave military service. So you sort of get the promotions you would have got if you'd stayed in military service. Do you get treated like this if you're not a member of the royal family? And should... The question I really like, actually, and I want you to think about this a bit. Should actions after military service dilute or denigrate that service? I'm really uncomfortable with this, and I love topics that make me uncomfortable, because I'd be at the front of the queue for more punishments. I lose no sleep whatsoever about the fact that the prospect of this ridiculous man losing his sort of grace and favour accommodation and having to exist like an incredibly privileged person rather than an obscenely privileged person for the rest of his days. And I will be interested to see whether his new civilian status changes the various investigations into his close friend and paedophile Jeffrey Epstein on both sides of the Atlantic. Ministry of Defence sources have revealed that they expect the process of removing his rank to be completed in short order. The Defence Secretary confirmed that he will be stripped of his honorary rank of Vice Admiral. That's his only remaining honorary title. He received it on his 55th birthday in 2015. The Clever Money says that the information has come from the King. It is understood that the Ministry of Defence has been instructed to work at pace to enact the change, which is made on the advice of the King. In general, the government's been guided by the decisions and judgments the King has made, is what the Defence Secretary said, and it's exactly the same in defence. He's surrendered his honorary positions, and we're now working to get rid of the last remaining title he has. So I need military experts, military veterans, military historians to talk me through the precedent here, if there is one. But the reason this is making me slightly uncomfortable is that if you have received something as a consequence of your military service, then is it fair to take it away for reasons that have nothing to do with your military service? I mean, my heart says, yeah, of course it is. Stone him. My head is struggling a little bit with this one on the sort of grounds of natural justice. If I receive honours for flying helicopters in the Falklands, effectively, you know, admittedly there's a sort of amplification of honour that is a consequence of his membership of the royal family. But if I receive an honour as a consequence of my military service, and then I do something, or I'm accused, remember, he denies all the allegations against him. Do you know, I'm perilously close to asking whether this is a punishment too far. Can I stress again, and I hope this doesn't sound like a cop-out, my heart says it definitely isn't. Stone him. Stick him in the stocks. Let us all throw rotten tomatoes at him every Monday for a month. My head struggles a little bit with this. I mean, I don't think there's been any overreaction. I think it's all better late than never. One newspaper today finally makes the point that his brother, King Charles, had historic associations with men who turned out to be extremely dodgy. But I don't think that King Charles was sending messages to Jimmy Savile or Lawrence van der Post saying, I can't wait for us to play together again soon. But there's something here that just seems to me a little less clear-cut than most of the other elements of the story. And I'd be particularly interested to hear from members of the military, members of the armed forces, past or present. So he stands to lose his rank and his Falklands medal because of his continuing disgrace. If he had been convicted of any of the things he is accused of, I think it would be a bit of a no-brainer. I'd still have questions. I'd still be thinking, listen, if I had served with great honour in a war, and then 10, 20 years later, I did something awful, I still served with great honour in a war, didn't I? I still did something really admirable and really special and really important. I still did more than my duty. And whatever crime I committed, and he has been convicted of no crimes, I just can't quite square this circle, and I wonder whether you can. Hit the numbers now, you will get through. 0345 6060 973. Andrew could lose his Falklands medal along with his rank. Tell me a little bit about the Falklands medal if you think I need to know, but no one can argue that he served as a Royal Navy helicopter pilot in the Falklands conflict. You know, a stray exocet, or even a genuine missile. They didn't use exocets, the Argentines, that was us. Well, a stray exocet, I suppose, in a friendly fire context. But, you know, if they'd stuck a badge on the helicopter he was in, he'd have been target number one. You can't... I will brook no challenge when it comes to denigrating him for the decisions that he's made and the disgusting associations that he's pursued and the entitlement and the arrogance and the lack of intelligence, which I think is relevant to the entire story, and the hideous, hideous contact that he continued with Jeffrey Epstein long after he'd claimed that he'd cut off all contact, the nonsense about not sweating, the ridiculous claims about Pizza Express in Woking. Absolutely no attempt to rehabilitate the man is going to begin or end here. But I think of a military hero. Think of your favourite military hero. This is why I think that members of the military, past and present, will be particularly interesting. You live by a different code to the rest of us, in some ways. Or at least you speak a different language from the rest of us when you are in the military. And I can't help thinking that if you picked a military hero, who's your favourite military hero? Who is the greatest military? Johnson Beharie, for example. I think the last recipient of the Victoria Cross, who I've had the great honour of meeting. If you haven't committed a crime, you haven't been found guilty of a crime, can you take honours, military honours, away from people? I think in the first instance to examine this through the lens of the military, and then throw it open to the floor, then throw it open to a wider audience. So book your place now. First couple of callers, I'd like to be from the military. I can't control that. If you don't ring me, I can't talk to you, obviously. But how do you feel about it as the recipient of medals? In what circumstances would it be a fair cop for those medals or those other honours, in this case a rank, to be taken away? I just can't help wondering whether or not this is, what's the word? It's like a form of compensation. It's like trying to make up. Yeah, compensating. Whether it's compensating for the failure to do more sooner, you end up doing too much later. No problem whatsoever. Lose the house, lose the title, no longer a prince, all of that malarkey. We've been calling him Andrew Windsor on this programme since Emily Maitlis's interview with him. But I get a bit dewy-eyed about the military. It's pathetic, I know. But I'm never going to change, and I'm certainly not going to apologise for it. And I know that the Army and the Navy and the Royal Air Force, like any other collection of human beings, is going to have lots of wrong-uns in it. But if you do your bit, if you do your bit, and then you do something else completely different, that isn't a crime in this case, but up to a point, even if it was, if you do your bit, is it fair to take away the stuff you got as a reward for doing your bit when you do something else later, entirely different? I think, and I've been doing this for quite a long time now, I think this is a really good question. I think it's a really interesting question. But what you have to do is park your attitudes about all the other elements of this story. I think, well, maybe you'll tell me that you don't. But if you're a military hero, and then you're accused later in life of some awful things that are unproven, albeit that you gave 12 million quid to the person that accused you of your late mother's money, spoiler alert, should you lose your ranks and your medals 10, 20, 30, 40 years later? 0345 6060 9 73. Hit the numbers now. You will get through.
This is LBC.
Amazon has increased funding for employees to £3,000 a year every year for career development. Like Juliet, she's now a trained technician. And to her, the sound of machinery in need of repair reminds her of how far she's come. In 2 years, she's landed her dream job, providing her with valuable skills. That's up to £3,000 every year for career development at Amazon. Eligibility conditions apply.
A safe trip begins with TRIP. Take a road trip with your family, get there safely. Do your trip checks. T, top up on island fuel. R, rest every 2 hours too. I, inspect tire pressure and tread. P, prepare for the weather ahead. A safe trip begins with TRIP. A safe trip begins with...
Think, do the 4 trip checks before every long journey. National Highways.
I'm telling you, raise taxes, that's how.
Cut spending, less waste, more sense.
Move north, get more for your money.
Until winter hits your heating bill.
Fair.
Up to 9.13% annual return. We all agree that's strong.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's hard to ignore.
Cufflink. Auto-invest property-backed from £500. Visit cufflink.com. That's K-U-F-L-I-N-K. Register your interest today. Your capital is at risk. Tax rules apply to IF ISAs and may be subject to change. Cufflink is authorised and regulated by the FCA.
James O'Brien on LBC. Call 0345 6060 973.
It's 19 minutes after 11. You're listening to James O'Brien on LBC, where we're having a slightly unexpected conversation about whether the powers that be, which is a desperately broad charge, but I think it works in this case, are overcompensating for their failure to deal with Prince Andrew sooner, up to and including your actual king, who is apparently behind calls for Andrew Windsor to be stripped of a Falklands medal and the only rank, the honorary rank of Vice Admiral. Admirable? Nothing admirable about this guy. Of Vice Admiral that he retains. And that itself is a consequence of his service, albeit that it kind of gets turbocharged. Your promotions get turbocharged if you leave military service and become a working royal. Then you'll get the same promotions that you would have got if you'd stayed in the service. I think I've understood that, but one of the reasons why I'm keen for members of the military to talk to me about this is because I could have got it wrong, and you will know, and I don't. 20 minutes after 11 is the time. Dave is in Manchester. Dave, what would you like to say?
Hi, yeah, so I served in the military. I was in the parachute regiment for 7 years. Like Andrew, I've received several medals for different operations that I conducted across the world. Now, I'm no fan of Andrew whatsoever, no. And I completely believe that although he hasn't been convicted of anything, you know, there's just...
And he denies everything. You don't give 12 million quid to someone who's accused you of
exactly
something.
Exactly, right.
It's tricky, isn't it?
Far too much smoke for not to be fire, in my opinion. However, I do believe that, you know, what he would have received is something called an operational service medal, and this is a very common type of medal. And essentially what it means is if you serve for 30 days within a conflict area, you get that. But, well, actually it means that if you're involved in the operation for 30 days, you get that medal. But he had a rosette with his Falklands medal, which means that he was involved during, you know, the fighting period.
Right.
Now, he did his 30 days in that conflict area. Every single other member of the military who did their 30 days was entitled to that medal. So everyone else was entitled to it, and he was entitled to it under the same circumstances, right? He had to serve those 30 days. Now,
you get it for serving. And
exactly.
You take it away, it's almost like you're saying you didn't serve. There's a logic, a lack of logic to this, no?
Exactly right. We can't undo time. We can't go back in time and remove him from that conflict. He was there. He did serve. And just like every other serviceman, he is entitled to that medal. He did what he needed to do to be entitled to it. Now, yes, I don't agree with his behaviour today and what's going on, but that doesn't take away from the fact that he did go to the Falklands War and serve in that war. And just like everyone else, he has the same entitlement to own that medal.
What's the personal connection? What message does it send to all veterans? That's why I wanted to talk to you first, rather than, you know, just someone with a, I'm sure, an interesting, but not a person. Does it, I mean, do you feel anything personal? Is it as if your medals could be taken away from you if your life took an unexpected turn or an unpleasant turn, and it would somehow be diluting or denying even what you have done for, in your case, Queen and country?
Yeah, no, I mean, it doesn't really feel...
Does it not?
It doesn't really feel personal, no. Okay. Probably that's because I feel quite assured that I'm not going to, you know, end up texting paedophiles, you know, in my spare time. I'm very glad to hear it.
But then again, that's what you would say, Dave.
You know, yeah. But on a more serious note, you know... Yes. I just wondered,
and other people may be different, I just wondered whether it somehow diluted the power or the profundity of the honour of the medal to know that it could be temporary, even though it was given for something that can never be undone, that can never unhappen. It happened, you got the medal. You take the medal away, I can't quite find the words, but you're not feeling whatever it is to describe. This is great radio. Yeah. You're not feeling whatever it is I'm failing to describe. I'm glad we've established that.
I think the thing is, it doesn't worry me for another reason. So a medal is really just a physical, you know, thank you from the government for our service. Mm. But the truth is, I'm proud of my service with or without that medal.
Yes.
So regardless of where my life may not take me in future, if that medal was to be taken away, I would still be proud of that service. Okay, that service would still exist.
Yes.
And that piece of metal doesn't represent how I feel about my service to my country.
Mm.
You know, it's just a physical thank you, but it you know, they can't take away what's inside me, which is the pride I have to serve alongside the men I served alongside and the good we did in the world.
Yeah, beautifully put. And in the, well, hang on, what about the rank? Is that different in your mind?
Yeah, it's a strange one. I can't relate to that because
you're never going to get one.
because my rank didn't carry on after I left the military. That's something that is, you know, only the royals really get to enjoy that privilege. You know, so it's not something that I can ever relate to, but it doesn't mean it's a meaningless rank. You know, it's not an he's not using it operationally at the moment. So it's just a title. Like, I'm sure someone like him is going to feel very hurt by being taken away, but it doesn't really mean anything in any real sense other than.
No. Yes, exactly that. Meaningless baubles. But of course, if you're a member of the royal family, then the chances are that you see meaningless baubles as rather more meaningful than the rest of us do. Beautifully played, Dave. Thank you for that. It's a perfect start to the conversation. As we talk about rank, is anybody else reminded of that caller to Mystery Hour on Thursday who wondered why it is, why some speech impediments are more prevalent among posh people than they are among the rest of us? I have no idea why that might have popped into my mind. No idea at all. Mark's in Rugby. Mark, what would you like to say?
Hello, James. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Welcome. Thank you.
And often I feel as though I haven't got anything to add, but today I do, strangely, because...
You always do. You're just clearly well-adjusted and modest, unlike the rest of us who've always got something to add. Go on.
Unlikely. So I did 30 years in the Royal Navy, and I was a helicopter pilot, and then luckily a fast jet pilot. So where I am on this is very simple and very, very similar to your previous caller.
Yeah.
So the rank, I have absolutely zero issue with at all. He should be stripped of that because actually it's almost as though the military would rather he wasn't part of them anymore. But actually, the medal he won.
Mm.
He served. He did. It's a bit like taking away your O-level certificate. I'm sorry, but you've got that.
Or your FA Cup winner's medal. You were in the team.
the whole lot, you know. Yeah. You can't do that. And as I said to your researcher, Becky, flying a helicopter in a maritime environment is tricky. And actually, when you do it in war conditions, it's even more tricky. And he did it. And he did it well. He wasn't particularly protected from the action.
He couldn't be, could he? Could you protect a helicopter pilot?
No, I mean, and I think you've just hit on a really good point there, James, yeah. Because actually, flying a helicopter at sea is very, very dangerous. It yeah. doesn't matter whether you're being shot at or not. So the reality is, he did it, he earned his medal, he should keep it. Now, I've never heard of anybody losing any military medals sort of after the event, if that makes sense.
So, what if you get cashiered or court-martialed or something like that?
I don't know, but
someone listening will know.
You do. Somebody will.
Because it does seem like it's a reward for something that you have done, and you can't not have done it. Unless it turns out that you sent your twin brother or you sent a doppelganger.
We're
having a very different conversation. Yes, of course, but you can't unhappen something, can you?
No, you can't. So, and I know a lot of my military friends. I mean, I served on the same squadron as Andrew. So, a lot of my friends know him better than I do in reality. And it was a strange time having a role in the squadron, for sure. I mean, he was in and out. He wasn't there a lot, but when he was kind of there.
Okay.
But the difficulty was, I think, that we always knew that he would be treated differently,
yes.
But actually, you know, embarked on a ship flying during a war, he wasn't. And he did it. So, yeah, keep the medal.
Did he? I don't think you'll want to answer this question, but did he have a good reputation among his colleagues, his comrades?
Not particularly.
Okay, that'll do. Oh, well, Kel Surprise, though, eh? Did you ever see him sweat?
I'm gonna plead the fifth.
Yeah, what would happen? What would happen in a sauna if you really did lose the ability to sweat? Would you pop? Would you explode? If you're sitting in a sauna and you can't sweat, would you expand? Would you sort of develop an extra layer of, I don't know, sweat-filled epidermis? I just don't know. That was one of the many remarkable claims. Lovely stuff. Thank you, Mark. It is 11:29. A little more on this. Harry lost his honorary military titles after stepping down as a working royal in 2020. So it kind of goes with the territory. I suspect that this will distill down to let him keep his medal, but no titles whatsoever. No titles whatsoever. He was Captain General of the Royal Marines. This is Harry. Honorary Air Commandant of RAF Honington and Commodore-in-Chief of Small Ships and Diving. Something quite appropriate about Harry being the Commodore-in-Chief of Small Ships. Well, what with him obviously not being a massive racist? Well, he lost these ceremonial roles. He retains his military service medals from his time on active duty. But Harry did absolutely nothing wrong. Let's make that absolutely clear. And in fact, the one element of this that I find, when you step away from the hideousness of Andrew's associations, the idea that anybody puts Harry in the same sort of file-marked problem for the royal family is really gross. It's not just unfair, it's actually disgusting. You know, somebody who has had the audacity to stand up to the British newspapers, and like an awful lot of people can no doubt relate to, has had difficulties with his own family, has felt more sinned against than sinning in the context of his own family, and has actually prioritised his own mental health, his own welfare and his own family above the ties that bind. It's an incredibly courageous thing to do. And to somehow get lumped in with a bloke who was mates with a convicted paedophile and stayed mates afterwards and lied about it, even by the standards of the UK media, it's pretty hard to swallow, isn't it? And speaking of the standards of the UK media, I've got I mean, it's the gift that keeps on giving. The Rachel Reeves rental story. The Daily Mail is still wanging on about it. Nobody else is. You remember when the Chinese spy case was all that we could talk about, except no one had anything interesting to say, and YouGov did some polling on it. Can you remember the percentage of people that considered themselves to be properly engaged with that story? It was 2 or 3%. And yet, to look at the... And I guess it was right to report it, but we were also right to wonder what on earth was going on. I've got a wonderful missed information for you in the same sort of space after the headlines with Dominic Ellis.
A man's been charged in connection with Saturday's knife attack on a train in Cambridgeshire. Anthony Williams, who's 32 and from Peterborough, is accused of 10 counts of attempted murder. Four people have suffered minor injuries after a train derailed in Cumbria. It happened near the village of Shap early this morning. And a pregnant British teenager held over drug smuggling offences in Georgia is to be released from prison. Bella Mae Cully, who's 19 and from Teesside, was arrested at Tbilisi Airport in May. LBC weather, windy and cloudy for most today. Some heavy rain in northern and western areas with a high of 14 degrees.
LBC.
Train to Three Bridges for two adults, one skeleton and one fairy werewolf, as you do.
Just one pumpkin each, kids. Charlie, not that one, mate. It's nearly as big as you.
Back on the train with two little monsters and a couple of pumpkins. Now off home to spend a good 3 hours carving. Download the Thameslink Railway app to book kids' tickets for £2 on off-peak journeys. Thameslink Railway, where every stop is a story.
Huh. Have you ever wondered what a sandwich sounds like? Not much to it, is there? Unless, of course, it's a Walker's sandwich. Mmm, that is good. Now that's what Asani should sound like. Go all crispin with Walkers. Delicious.
How's the business going?
We're busier than ever, but struggling to get the staff we need.
Oh, recruiting can be such a distraction. We gave Job Centre Plus a try, and they've really helped us out.
Really?
Yeah, it was dead easy. We got our own employer advisor, Julie, who helped advertise our jobs, shortlisted candidates for us, and let us interview at the Job Centre. We've hired some great people, and Job Centre Plus really took the hassle out of it, and there was no fee.
Brilliant. That's straight on my to-do list.
Find out more at business.gov.uk/recruit. Eligibility criteria apply.
Experience. It's knowing when something is worth waiting for and when it isn't. That's why Saga Health Insurance offers unlimited GP appointments whenever you need them. With a choice of flexible plans, prompt tests and treatment, your health is taken care of. And right now, get 3 months free. Search Saga Health Insurance for a quote today. New customers starting a policy before the 27th of November. Pay by monthly direct debit for the first year. Terms and conditions apply. Over 50s only.
Our pet's in a pickle. We're here when it matters most. For fuss-free pet insurance policies as unique as they are, visit petsinapickle.co.uk.
This is LBC. Message James O'Brien on WhatsApp now on 0345 6060973.
11:34 is the time. You're listening to James O'Brien on LBC. Again, a few texts now of people who tell me that they did lose the ability to sweat. It can be particularly problematic in summer, but you haven't told me what happens in a sauna. I saw this headline today, albeit that it is in a comic rather than a proper newspaper, and I thought, oh, Lord, maybe there's more to this than meets the eye. So what I read was, estate agent was not to blame for Reeves's house license fiasco, his boss insists. And I thought, oh, why isn't this on the front page? Considering that on the day Andrew Windsor ceased to be a prince, the editor of the Daily Mail did not think it was the biggest story in town. He was still trying to reinflate the soggy balloon that is Rachel Reeves's rentals. And just in case for fans of footballification, I was quite clear before the Prime Minister's advisor on integrity and ethics concluded the same. I was quite clear that Angela Rayner's position had become unsustainable when it became clear that she had not sought all of the necessary and available advice that she needed over her house purchase in Brighton. So no scarf here, lads, tied so tightly round the neck that it cuts off the flow of blood to the head. That is, of course, what political footballification looks like. But this story has always seemed to be a whole heap of nothing, culminating in them actually producing the email from the bloke saying, I'll do this thing that you're accused of not doing. Don't you worry. So you read this headline. Estate agent was not to blame for Reeves's house license fiasco. His boss insists. And you think, why is that on page 14? They've busted Rachel Reeves. She's been caught in a lie. Why are the Daily Mail, who only last week put a non-story on page one, putting a big story on page 14? So you do what no one should have to do, and you start reading the story. So the boss actually said, there is absolutely no criticism of any member of staff. The previous property manager was very good. I take full responsibility for the mistake. It was just unfortunate timing, an innocent mistake. We were trying to help. It is really unfortunate. When you get a high-profile client, you want to help them. So what has happened here is that the estate agent said, yes, it was entirely our fault. I take full responsibility. And did so while saying, please don't blame my former employee who sent the email saying that we would sort it out and then resigned unexpectedly shortly afterwards because he'd been offered a better job elsewhere. So the story about the estate agent being entirely to blame in Daily Mail land becomes, estate agent was not to blame for Reeves's house licence fiasco, his boss insists. So the boss says, oh, don't blame him, it's all on me. It's all on me. It's definitely not on Rachel Reeves. It's all on me. Don't blame him. It's all on me. And in Daily Mail land, your brain has been so boiled by bile that it becomes, estate agent was not to blame for Reeves's house licence fiasco, his boss insists. Without adding, because they think their readers are stupid, in some cases, quite unfairly, but not all. Without adding, oh, he takes all the blame himself and Rachel Reeves is not on the hook for anything still. And I forgot to do this.
Missed information.
Thank you, Emily. 11:37 is the time. I've also got a bonkers headline, an unhinged headline for you, although I am...
Unhinged headline!
Not yet, mate. Honestly, it's a trigger finger. It's a trigger finger. Not yet. I can't do it now. I've got to carry on with the conversation about Andrew Windsor, innit? And the conversation we're having about Andrew is I just looks at the unfairness. Yes, I will use the word. Even when you're talking about someone like him. The unfairness of taking away a medal awarded for service what you did. Service that you actually did. And if you think you know more about his military service than I do, well, the last caller was in the same section of the Royal Navy flying helicopters at the same time. And he also thinks that taking away the medal just feels wrong, actually. I'd love someone to tell me why it is right. Steve's in Chester. Steve, what would you like to say?
No, I'm going to let you down. I'm not telling you why it's right. I completely agree with the last caller.
I'm going unanimous on this.
Yeah,
it's terrible.
Yeah, well, the O-level analogy is a good one. You know, you did
it.
You got it. Yeah, but I think once you get a medal, it's your personal property. You can do with it what you want. Famously, Siegfried Sassoon threw his military cross into the sea.
Yes.
Lord Ashcroft, if you go to the top of the Imperial War Museum, there's a gallery full of Victoria crosses, mostly won by working class men, whose family sold them to Lord Ashcroft for his private amusement. They're yours, aren't they? So, you know, they can take his rank and his pension and his titles away, but I don't think you can take that medal away.
Well, I mean, actually, you've reminded us that it's figurative and physical, isn't it? So I don't know that they could require him to actually send it back.
No, it's his bit of metal.
It is his bit of metal. But
and it's his inch of glory.
But they could take away the award. They could retrospectively say you're no longer able to describe yourself as a holder of the Falklands medal, couldn't they?
I don't think anyone does anyway. It's not the sort of medal you put after your name. You put VC for Victoria Cross after your name, DSO, DFC and all that, but I don't think anyone puts it, because it's not actually called the Falklands medal. It's the General Service Medal, brackets, Falkland Islands, close brackets. It's the same medal as you get for Northern Ireland or a dozen, 20, 30 other campaigns called the General Service Medal.
So it is just saying I was there.
Yeah, that's literally
it. Does it feel petty to you? I mean, it's a weird one, this, isn't
absurd.
It? Because I think we're all agreed that Andrew is not somebody you'd want to go for a Pizza Express with in Woking, but or a sauna. But equally, you can actually say too much is too much.
Yeah, it seems absurd to me. It's like, all right, what does it gain the world by taking that?
I'm going to make a prediction. I'm going to make a prediction. I don't think they're going to take it away. But and I presume that you're also of a piece with everybody else when it comes to the ranks.
Well, yeah, if he was, I can't remember what rank he ended up as. That was silly. I missed the Falklands. I was a bit too young. But when I served a lot,
I thought you were going to say I was busy.
Yeah, I was in a joint Army Navy Air Force unit for a bit, okay. And some of the Navy guys that had been shipmates of his, and said he was generally quite well thought of by the lower ranks. I mean, your previous caller was an officer as well. I mean, maybe you knew a bit more up close, but everyone said the agreement seemed to be he was quite a decent officer.
That's nice to
from
hear.
A petty officer's point of view. And,
yeah,
you know, he earned his ranks. He was promoted genuinely. He wasn't like a.
Yeah, so he keeps the rank he had.
He
keeps the rank he had when he left the Navy, but what
I
happens if you're
much,
a, if you're a working royal, you carry on getting promoted. So on his 55th birthday 10 years ago, they made him an honorary vice admiral.
Fantastic. I wish I'd been, you know, I was 55 last year. Maybe they could have made me up to sergeant.
Honorary sergeant.
Yeah.
Should he keep that, though? Should he keep that, do you think?
I don't think so, no.
No, I don't. So keep the medal, lose the title.
I think that's the consensus, James, isn't it?
Well, I don't like consensus. I'm allergic to consensus. It is the enemy of the radio phone-in host, so there is room between now and 12 noon for somebody to stick in the spokes of our consensus. Thank you, Steve. 0345 6060973 is the number that you need. It's more than just a bit of metal. I know one has suggested that it is, but it, you wouldn't... I don't know, would you have to give back the actual physical object in this context? Does that ever happen? That's the other thing we haven't established, despite the military pedigree of almost all my callers this hour. Does anybody ever have to give it back? I've always been, he mentioned Michael Ashcroft, I've always felt if I ended up stupidly rich and I had a passion for the military and I saw someone selling their medal, I'd buy it and give it back. I don't know why I've always thought that. It's quite an odd thought to have framed. But, and I know what you're thinking, because you're cheeky. Well, then they'd just sell it again. And you'd be like, well, fair enough. But I'm not going to use my money to accumulate medals won for gallantry. No one should really own a medal won for gallantry unless they've done the gallantry, should they? I don't know. It's maybe a phone-in for a completely different day. But that's what I'd do. There's lots of things I'd do if I won the lottery, if I was a billionaire. There's lots and lots and lots of things I'd do. But that, for some reason, popped into my head again this morning. Gary's in Calais. Hello, Gary. How's things?
Hello, sir. Very good. We're going to go down a bit of a minefield you're entering today, obviously.
Carry on.
Medals. Okay. They have been forfeited in the past. Now, first off, you've got awards, Victoria Cross, etc., DSOs and what have you. They were forfeited in the past for murder, suicide, etc.
Right.
Quite famously, I think, at least one lad from the Chartered Light Brigade. What happened, it got to, I think it was the First World War, George the Fifth, and there was a... Because it's only the sovereign that could take away the Victoria Cross, if I recall.
Yeah.
And it came in front of him, and he said, hang on a minute, when he won this medal, he wasn't a bigamist, he wasn't a bank robber, etc., therefore, you cannot, I will not forfeit this Victoria Cross.
Mm.
But it had happened in the past. By the way, it's the South Atlantic medal that he's got, the Falklands medal, they'll call it. It's actually the South Atlantic Service Medal.
Okay.
Okay, now going on from that, for service medals, serving in a campaign. Okay, yeah. Medals have been forfeited in the past. I'm a big medal collector for various reasons. Can't collect what I'd like to collect, but never mind.
What does that mean?
And I'd like to collect Waterloo medals to officers.
But they're too expensive?
$5,000-$6,000 a go.
And you collect medals of people who have passed?
Absolutely. You do get a lot of current stuff coming. I mean, you're going down another path now. Well,
that's what I was saying. Because I was hoping I hadn't offended you by accident before you came on when I said I don't like people buying gallantry medals of people who are still alive. In fact, to be fair to Lord Ashcroft, I'm sure most of the ones, if not all of the ones he's bought, probably are from people that have passed away rather than...
No.
But it just becomes another family asset.
It's a huge minefield at that point.
Yeah.
And there's another thing you can go... But service medals, back to where we were.
Yes,
sir. First World War medals. You do see on some records, medals are forfeited.
Okay.
Now, that then again can be a bit odd. Because you still see medals out there, I'll throw two names at you, Christie and Haig.
Blimey.
Exactly. Christie's pair still out there, never taken away. Haig, Second World War pilot, his medals are still out there.
That's the body in the bar. No, that's Crippen. What was Haig? Who was Haig? I know who Christie was. That was Rillington Place.
Haig was the serial killer killing girls down on the south coast. It's actually the TV series The Charmer is loosely based around
Nigel, Hayes. Yeah. No, it was Clive Owen. It was absolute... Was it Nigel Havers? Or
Nigel
Owen?
Havers.
Nigel Havers.
Well, based on the Hague thing, Hague's medals are still out there. Okay. You do see medals, and it'll say on the papers, medals forfeited. And it can be, I would say, for quite minor reasons. When you get people that were executed, their medals still issued. First World War pairs, trios, etc.
Yeah.
They're out there.
This is fascinating.
So service medals can be, very rarely now, I would say. Look, Harry Roberts, he kills coppers. His Malaya medal's still out there.
Why do you, I mean, this is your, I mean, every time you ring me, we discover a new field of expertise that you've got, Gary. But this sounds like a real humdinger of a field of expertise.
Look, Victoria Crosses.
Yeah.
Lost. Okay, someone said about would they sell them. Hilarious case a few years ago. A family applied to the Queen and said, our Victoria Cross to our grandfather was lost, Boer War. Can we have a replacement? It had never been done before.
Oh, yeah.
The Queen signed it off, replaced it, family put it to auction.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and she apparently was not best pleased.
Well, she wouldn't be. But it's theirs to do with whatever they want. So to be fair,
well, yes.
Come on, is this why it's a minefield? Because I'm thinking that's ours. We could have a few quid off Grandad there, and we've lost it. So let's get a new one, Grandad. It's what Grandad would have wanted. It's what Grandad would have wanted. Clive Owen was Chancellor, not the Charmer. I got confused.
Yeah, and then you get the issue where someone in the family says, "Look, this Victoria Cross, we're going to get a minimum of 250,000 for it. Let's sell it." Then you get the family arguments over money. Where's it going?
Yeah.
Siegfried Sassoon medals, he claimed he threw them in the Thames. He didn't. The family found them about 20 years ago, sitting in a loft, and the first thing the family did, put them to auction.
Is that true? I missed
Absolutely.
That. Good Lord. Well, you live and learn, don't you, eh?
So I've had a couple of people out from, with Victoria Cross winners, relatives, descendants. One of them was a nephew.
Right.
And that was quite a dark one. It's in the Ashcroft collection. And literally, the medals, they didn't know how they went out of the family.
Oh, really? That's
that
sad,
happens.
Isn't it? Yeah, of course it does. You do it on the Never Never, wouldn't you? You do it on the Quiet.
Yeah. So medals can be forfeited. It's a service medal. Some of them are still out there for people you think, really?
Should he lose his? Should Andrew lose his?
Absolutely no.
Oh.
It'd be a ridiculous thing to do.
Okay.
He was there, he did what he did,
yeah,
serving in the South Atlantic. He played as a decoy, remember, off the back of ships, hoping that the missiles would go for his helicopter rather than the ship. And he was also on, I think it was the Atlantic conveyor, he was actually bringing his helicopter up to clear the smoke away.
And the honorary rank?
Rank's got to go.
Yeah. I mean, this is, I can't remember the last time we were all in 100% agreement about everything, and just to make things even more exciting, every single caller knows a heck of a lot more or has a much closer connection with the issue than I ever will. Thank you, Gary. Stay safe. 11:49 is the time.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
You've heard all the details quite rightly from my LBC colleagues over the weekend and indeed through this morning. You know what happened on that train. Rather than running from danger, Stephen took the extraordinary decision to confront the suspected attacker.
People went in toilets and the buffet cart. Some people hid in there, but I couldn't get in any of those. They're all full, so it was just me against him.
What level of injuries did you sustain, Stephen?
Mostly on behind, like my back and stuff and downwards. Got quite a lot of stitches in the top of my head. I got away and then I got into the toilet and by then I was bleeding. I think every finger's basically putting in plastic surgery.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Back tomorrow morning from 7. Listen on our free Global Player app or the new LBC app. LBC.
So, what's on your to-do list today? Why don't you check if you're eligible for pension credit? It tops up your pension income and also opens up help with heating bills, council tax, and more. Search pension credit on gov.uk or call 0800 99 1234. There's nothing to lose. Check today. Pension credit. Credit where credit's due. Eligibility criteria apply.
At Amazon, over 50% of deliveries now come with less packaging. Or with no added packaging at all. It's a difference you'll notice on your doorstep. where you chat with friends, where your neighbour's daughter practices guitar, and where we deliver your new noise-cancelling headphones in the manufacturer's packaging. Ah, much better. Reduced packaging from Amazon. We're delivering change where it matters, on your doorstep. Based on 2024 UK and EU Amazon packaging data.
Train to Chichester. Flasks filled, snacks packed, all ready for Maisie's first stargazing adventure.
Come on, Maisie. Follow everyone up to the top of that hill.
Oh, look, that one's the plough.
Shooting star. Wow.
Oh, made it. Last train back and feeling cosmic. And it seems we have an astronaut in the making. Download the Southern Railway app to book kids' tickets for £2 on off-peak journeys. Southern Railway, where every stop is a story.
I like my private details on a need-to-know basis. In other words, I need to know them and you don't. That's why I use Bitdefender whenever I'm connected, working tirelessly in the background to protect me across all my devices, keeping my digital identity confidential, on the download, on the hush-hush, trusted by the experts, used by the pros.
Bitdefender, a global leader in cybersecurity. Trusted, always.
Verify now at bitdefender.com.
How's the business going?
We're busier than ever, but struggling to get the staff we need.
Recruiting can be such a distraction. We gave Job Centre Plus a try, and they've really helped us out.
Really?
Yeah, it was dead easy. We got our own employer advisor, Julie, who helped advertise our jobs, shortlisted candidates for us, and let us interview at the Job Centre. We've hired some great people, and Job Centre Plus really took the hassle out of it, and there was no fee.
Brilliant. That's straight on my to-do list.
Find out more at business.gov.uk/recruit. Eligibility criteria apply.
James O'Brien. Alexa, send a comment to LBC.
It is 11:52. I don't know that this constitutes a cat amongst our peculiarly unanimous pigeons today, but you can lose your England caps. There was a footballer, younger listeners possibly won't know, but a former England and Sunderland player called Adam Johnson, who was found guilty of one count of sexual activity with a child, and pled guilty to other charges of kissing and grooming the same girl, who was 15 at the time of the offences, was sent down in, I think, 2016. And it turned out in court, I think at the sentencing hearing, thank you to whoever it was that alerted me to this in the text, that he'd been stripped of his 12 England caps. So, I mean, it's the same principle. I don't think I'd have done a phone-in about whether or not that was fair, but I am doing a phone-in about whether or not Andrew Windsor should lose a medal he received simply for being there in the Falklands, in the same way that this character received an England cap because he played for England. I kept saying you can't unhappen something. It turns out you kind of can. It's a funny one. Danny's in High Wycombe. Danny, what would you like to say?
Firstly, I agree with most of the callers. He should be stripped of anything honorary. Well, I don't know whether the garters and everything like that. But the Falklands medal. You made a point just then. You said simply being there. Well, he wasn't simply just being there. He was flying a helicopter behind a warship, trying to avoid exercise.
No, but I think he would have got one just for being there. That's all I was saying. Everybody who served got this one. I wasn't making light of it. I was taking enormous risks. I know, it was a figure of speech. How dare you pick up on it in such a pedantic fashion. But it is silly. It does seem odd, even with this, I mean, slightly odd thing about the footballer who lost his England caps despite playing 12 times for England. You can't unplay the player. You can't unserve the server. But, two wrongs don't make a right.
Well, and it goes back to the previous point about the VC winner who was in front of the then king, who said, well, actually, he wasn't a bigamist or whatever he was then, and when he earned it. So my personal opinion is, no, he keeps that one medal.
I wonder where it came from. Rank. Loses everything else. I wonder where it came from, this suggestion in the Times today that he could be stripped of his campaign medal from the Falklands conflict. Buckingham Palace refused to rule it out, so it might be a Sunday for Monday flyer. I ask you a question and you decline to answer it, and I somehow extrapolate from that you might actually be losing your medal because you didn't bother answering or you couldn't answer the question.
I think there's a lot of that. They're not commenting on it, so everybody's saying, oh, it's going to happen.
Yeah.
Actually, in the media today, is there any firm statement from the palace or anything like that? Or the MOD? I don't know who takes his medal away.
Now, the Secretary of State is doing it with the rank. The Ministry of Defence has been instructed to work at pace to enact the change, which is understood, which is made on the advice of the King. And that is John Healy saying the department was working to remove the rank. But I think just almost offering up a no comment is the seed from which the idea that he could lose the medal would spring. There wouldn't be like widespread objection to it, just because every single veteran who has contributed to this program thinks it would be wrong. It's not as if you would man the barricades in the event of it being taken away, is it?
Well, absolutely not. But it's like you say, the majority of veterans would disagree with it. I don't know what the majority of the. I don't think do they hold medals in the same esteem that veterans do. You went there, you earned it.
Yeah, exactly.
We're not talking about gizzards either. So it's not a Jubilee medal. It's not a honorary medal. It's a operational campaign medal.
Do you want to know a secret?
Go on then.
No one is arguing any differently from you. Literally no one. Because this is one of those moments where we'd let anyone on air. Just to hear a different view. You could get on air even if you couldn't string a sentence together. You know, the kind of characters that pop up on other people's shows. You'd get on this show, for once, today, without being able to string a sentence together if you were just going to say, I don't think it should be... That, but no one. It's the closest to unanimity that I think I've seen in a very, very long time on the programme.
Because which is quite surprising, really.
It is quite surprising.
Well,
I imagine we're united in revulsion at much of his conduct, never mind the allegations against him and the decision to settle, which throws them into a very different light. There's something about the relationship between military service and a medal for military service that feels inviolate, isn't there?
Yeah, so if he ever appears in public again, hopefully with just one medal.
Just one medal. Thank you. It's like Death of Stalin, isn't it? Sometimes when you see the royal family at events and they've got so many medals, it looks like they've sort of fallen into a fruit machine covered in Pritt stick and then come out again. But the ones that are actually earned should be above and beyond removal. I think we are all agreed, unless Dave in Barnet is going to come in with a late equaliser. Dave, what's it going to be?
Sorry, yeah, slight curveball. I see the stripping of it as a punishment, but it's not rewriting history. It's saying the Navy no longer recognises your contribution because you have subsequently behaved in such an appalling manner. We don't want to recognise those types of contributions. Similar
he's
to
been
the
accused. I mean, he's been accused of behaving in an appalling manner, and he has been found to have lied and stayed friends with a paedophile after saying that he wasn't. It doesn't change the fact
that... I think
that's
that the threshold high enough.
Yeah. Are you ex-military?
No, not at all.
Interesting.
Not at all. Just a keen listener.
Well, I mean, an interested observer like me. But you would be the only dissenting voice on this and the only non-military voice, which may be pertinent, may be relevant to the position you adopt. I don't know.
I wonder if those military individuals would disagree with the footballer being stripped of his cap.
It doesn't feel the same to me, although I find it odd that you can be stripped of a cap that's rewarded for being somewhere, because you can't have not been there. But it may have been an unnecessary complication. I certainly got no problem with him losing his caps. I just wonder whether it was a determination to sort of do something. Something must be done. Therefore, the FA decided to do that. But I don't know, and we'll never know. But I doubt. I will be very surprised if they take away this medal, not least because of the almost unanimous objection to the idea that we have established here, and seriously, an awful lot of people getting in touch with the programme, none of them object to the central thrust of this hour, and secondly, because of the way the story seems to have appeared. Up next, one of our irregular returns to the world of ChatGPT.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation. This is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at midday, a 32-year-old man has been charged over Saturday's knife attack on a train in Cambridgeshire. Anthony Williams from Peterborough is accused of offences including 10 counts of attempted murder. He's also been charged over a separate knife attack at a DLR station in London earlier that day. Former Assistant Commissioner at the Metropolitan Police, Andy Heyman, has told LBC any future review of station security has to be measured.
We know there's not enough resources to be able to cover every train journey. That's just ridiculous. You can't start bringing in sort of airport security at train stations. You've only got to go to the busy terminals in London and elsewhere around the country commuting. That's just not practicable. You know, I think it's about being really vigilant.
Four people have suffered minor injuries after a train derailed in Cumbria. It happened near the village of Shap early this morning. More than 80 passengers were escorted from the train. Disruptions expected on the West Coast mainline for the rest of today. A pregnant British teenager held over drug smuggling offences in Georgia has been released from prison. Bella Mae Cully, who's 19 and from Teesside, was arrested at Tbilisi Airport in May. Her family's paid more than £137,000 as part of a plea deal. Nigel Farage is setting out his economic vision as part of efforts to show Reform UK is ready for government. Labour and the Conservatives have heavily criticised the party for lacking in detail in key policy areas. Mr Farage has promised Reform will become the most pro-business government the country's ever seen. Speaking at an event in London in the past half hour, he criticised falling productivity and rising government debt.
A fundamental problem behind so much of this, and yes, of course, there are global trends. Yes, of course, these things are factors, but that there is a fundamental problem at the heart of the way this country is run. It's the people that are actually doing it.
Labour says Mr Farage's economic plan would revive austerity. Concerns have been raised about unsafe high street clinics offering baby scans. The Society of Radiographers says some are run by people who are not trained. It wants mandatory training and the job title of sonographer to be protected. In the city a short time ago, the FTSE 100 was trading up 12 at 97.30. The pound buys $1.31 and €1.13. LBC weather, windy and cloudy for most this afternoon. Some heavy rain will move into northern and western areas with a high of 14 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Dominic Ellis.
If you bought a home on a holiday park in the UK, what you thought you were getting may not be what you ended up with. From unexpected site fee increases, running costs, a huge depreciation in value, many owners feel they've been missold. If you think this might be you, holidayparkadvicecentre.co.uk could help you receive the compensation you're entitled to. Text ASSIST to 78900 to find out more. That's ASSIST to 78900.
This is LBC from Global. Leading Britain's conversation with James O'Brien.
It's 3 minutes after 12. You're listening to James O'Brien on LBC, where I love this topic and I'm on the wrong side of it again. I don't want to be that bloke who goes all Luddite at some point in my life. I haven't really got on top of Instagram, for example, because life's too short and I'm not really, I don't know why I've not got on top of Instagram, but what I don't want to be is that person that I probably would have been had things unfolded differently over the last few years. I don't want to be the bloke, you know, like the Sun columnist of a certain age who thinks everything that he's too old to understand must be wrong or dodgy. You know what I'm talking about. Oh, they're all doing this these days. And like a sort of terminal case of in my day-itis. And I certainly don't want to poo-poo new technologies because I don't understand them. I would have done once. I think I would have done once. But I don't use ChatGPT, and that makes me, in my social circle, and increasingly in my family circle, that makes me a bit weird. I mean, I don't not use it. It's not like a religious aversion. I don't use it, and I obviously should be. And what I want to do now is moderate a conversation between people who use it and people who don't, in which I will fulfil all of the roles of the people who don't. So the only calls I want are from people who do. Bear with me. The way to do this is one that has been prompted by a couple of stories, but also by conversations that I've been having about what people are using it for. So I have, on two or three occasions in the last week, no, fortnight actually, one was the weekend before last, I have said to people, how did you do that? And they have said to me, ChatGPT, can I tell them what you did, Keith? So Keith, who is, contrary to appearances, something of a wine connoisseur, Keith asked ChatGPT to put together a course, a 10-week course, which you would have paid for previously, right? Either online or in person. But you asked ChatGPT to put together a 10-week course talking him through new wines based on prices and twinning them with foods so that it gave him a sort of vintner's guide to the wines, introducing him to new wines and also making food recommendations for the new wines to which he had been introduced within quite neatly defined, quite tightly defined price-based parameters. And other things like looking for something from a small chateau or looking for something that's not available in supermarkets. You can add all of this. And it provided him with what were you doing? A bottle a week? Just like so you sit down, you could do it with other people, and rather than paying an expert, and don't get me wrong, I understand how you feel if you're an expert. Rather than paying an expert or going to night school or logging online and paying for an online course, ChatGPT did all of it. Get the questions right on the honing or the filtering, the and it will do everything for you. So that is extraordinary to people who don't use ChatGPT. He did what? He got an entire wine course, tailor-made, remember, to his very specific requirements and palate. Whereas if you'd done it online, it would have been the same for all of us. So if I go on there now and ask for a 10-week course, a bottle a week to recommend, and this is what I'm having for dinner, or you tell me what I should have for dinner, I'd like something flinty from the Medoc region that doesn't have... I don't want to spend more than 25 quid, but I'd also like... And it will do it very tailor-made for you. And I come along and do something slightly different. I get slightly different suggestions. That is extraordinary when you think about it. More than half of people are now using ChatGPT to make financial decisions. This is something that's popped up in my family. So 56% of people will consult ChatGPT or other AI platforms for advice on making a fairly serious financial decision. I'm not interested in work stuff, all right? We'll do that another day, and we've done it before. I think the first to fall were the photographers. Don't at me to tell me that you're still doing brilliantly as a photographer. I wish you well and a long and happy career. But the first people to tell me why their particular field of photography was in existential threat were photographers, particularly ones whose portfolio contains stock photos. So you need a photo of a child eating an ice cream, and if you want to get it from an agency, you have to pay a small fee or a large fee, depending on what you're going to do with the photo. If you're going to stick it on an album cover, quite a large fee. If you're going to stick it in the Kidderminster shuttle, quite a small fee. You can just do AI now. You can just say, give me a picture of a randomly generated child eating an ice cream, and you don't have to pay anyone, and it's free on AI. So I know what happens at work. Do not call me to tell me what you're using it for at work. But I will tell you that 29% of people use it for help on emails or work documents. 20% use it for recipes. And again, it's not like normal. Remember, this is a conversation between people who use it and people who don't. So don't sort of think I'm being a bit stupid or a bit over the top by telling you stuff that you already know. Because you see her over there? She doesn't know any of this. So if you've got, for example, some purple sprouting broccoli in the fridge and it goes off tomorrow, you go on normal Google and you type in purple sprouting broccoli and you'll get advice on how to cook it, and then you'll get some recipes that might be suitable for you and some that aren't, and you go on ChatGPT and you go in with, and it'll just be a side dish, of course. It won't be a main dish. It won't be like, I'm a vegetarian and I want a purple sprouting broccoli main dish. Don't at me. That's something vegetarians do. If you go on ChatGPT, you can specifically say, I want it to be a main course. I don't like almonds. I want it to be this. I want it to be that. And refine. You keep refine. And it comes back with an absolutely delicious dish in which purple sprouting broccoli is the star. And that is very, very different from a traditional search engine. The refining is fascinating. That you refine things to the point where you can get it to write jokes for you. You could ask a question and say, give me a funny answer to this question, and it might come back with nonsense. You refine it, and then it happens. Teenage boys are using personalised AI, I read, for romance and indeed therapy. These are the hyper-personalised bots, and this is not healthy. Drawing in teenage boys, and we're now using them for therapy, companionship and relationships. We spoke to a mother not long ago of a young man whose life ended in the most tragic of circumstances, who felt, and legal cases ongoing in the United States of America, that he had been encouraged to take his own life by a hyper-personalised chatbot on AI. And they are constantly evolving, remember. As you refine your inquiries, so they refine their interactions with you, essentially in pursuit of making you make more interactions. So part of the attention economy, so that you become reliant on it. This report last week found that boys in secondary education across 37 schools in England, Scotland and Wales had 53% saying they found the online world more rewarding than the real world. Now, that's understandable. I've been playing Hogwarts Legacy for most of the weekend, and it was considerably more enjoyable than being out in the garden pruning my sprouts, which I also managed to do. But AI therapists, AI girlfriends, that's a very different thing. I'm not sure we're going to talk about that today either, because that feels like too big a side order. We'll do that as a full conversation one day. But here's what I want you to do, okay? And pay attention. A lot of people are rung in already. I haven't asked the question yet. Come on, back in your box, hold your horses. I want you to surprise me. Ideally, I'd like you to shock me. I want you to tell me what you have used ChatGPT for and how successfully. And remember, you are framing your comments, you're framing your contribution for all of the people who either don't use it at all, have never used it at all, or barely know what it is. So what I want you to imagine, and I will play this role, although I'm not completely in this category. I'm not entirely ignorant. I was slightly surprised by Keith's story, so that shows you how ignorant I am. Quite ignorant, but not completely ignorant. You are framing your contribution in the hope of making somebody who knows next to nothing or nothing about ChatGPT, they're going to go, no way! And that is how you will be able to gauge your success this hour. If I go, no way! Then mission is accomplished. If I go, yeah, fair enough, it's kind of like Google Plus. I could have done that. I could have worked that out. But I want you to tell me, and especially if it involves trust. So you have trusted it with a financial decision, perhaps, or a big personal life decision that, frankly, looking back, although it was the most natural thing in the world to do at the time, looking back, you can't quite believe that you imbued a non-person, you imbued a computer algorithm, a program, whatever you want to call it, with such an immense responsibility, you know, telling you what car to buy. Is that right? Would that work? Would you be shocked by that? I literally telling you. Anyway, you know what I'm talking about, because I'm talking about you. The thing you've used it for that would make people who never use it or people who hardly ever use it just go, what? Really? It does that now? So take Keith's wine course as a starting point. But remember, it's a specifically tailored wine course for him and him alone. It's not just like buying a book or finding a website. It's saying, I want this, this, this and this, and this and this and this, and that and this, and this and that, and that and that and this. Press the button, boom, it's there. Maybe not quite. Refine it a bit, refine it a lot, refine it a bit, refine it, and it's there. What are you using it for? What have you trusted it with that those of us who are not already up to our necks in this technology will be genuinely, well, at least surprised and at most absolutely gobsmacked to discover? 0345 6060 973 is the number that you need. It's 12:15.
This is LBC.
Do it for your wife, who told you to pick up bread, but instead you picked up Fred, your grandson, again. And now your daughter is calling because he missed football. That's the fourth time this month. You can wave his future career goodbye. If you don't do it for you, do it for your wife and little Freddy.
New In, the latest custom-fit rechargeable hearing devices. Discreet, comfortable, and smart enough to help you catch every moment. Book a free hearing test at bootshearingcare.com. T's and C's apply.
How's the business going?
We're busier than ever, but struggling to get the staff we need.
Recruiting can be such a distraction. We gave Job Centre Plus a try, and they've really helped us out.
Really?
Yeah, it was dead easy. We got our own employer advisor, Julie, who helped advertise our jobs, shortlisted candidates for us, and let us interview at the Job Centre. We've hired some great people, and Job Centre Plus really took the hassle out of it, and there was no fee.
Brilliant. That's straight on my to-do list.
Find out more at business.gov.uk/recruit. Eligibility criteria apply.
Hey, Harry.
Hello, mate.
Got any tips?
Your best bet is to head to BitVictor.
Why's that?
They've got more features than you can shake a stick at. They've got cash out, they've got in-play football, racing, tennis, all your favourite sports. They've got the best odds guaranteed on racing, and then there's the bet builder. And of course, you've got the lucky dip. Blimey, dip! I've got to go, fella. It's Nacho Night at Casa Rednap. And holy moly, I forgot the guacamole. Ay, caramba.
Listen to Harry and make your best bet at BetVictor. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. Gambleaware.org.
This is LBC with James O'Brien. Call 0345 6060 973. Text 84850. Alexa, send a comment to LBC.
12:16 is the time. All right. The last two shows, Friday and today, have unexpectedly unearthed topics that set the switchboard absolutely humming. But remember, it's easy to make the phones ring when you do this for a living. It doesn't mean the callers will be interesting. I just want to clarify that. You can talk about immigration every day and get the same caller five times a day for 50 years. Not mentioning any names. Or you can ask people if they've ever had a parking ticket that they didn't deserve. Or you can say, is there anybody old out there feeling poorly? Boom. So on Friday, it was ghosts. If you weren't listening, your loss. It was actually brilliant. Absolutely fascinating and occasionally quite scary. But I can't do that every day. I can't turn that into the new immigration. Give me a ring if you've ever seen a ghost. I think I'll do it every Halloween. Next year, remind me, because I'll almost certainly forget. And this won't last either, because soon, and probably sooner rather than later, this would be like asking you to tell me how great sliced bread is. Do you see what I mean? ChatGPT is advancing so quickly that the conversation between people who use it and people who don't will soon cease to be interesting, because the people who don't will be a small and dwindling bunch. Nothing wrong with them, but I'm looking at some of the messages that have already come in, and I am surprised, because I know next to nothing about it. It won't be surprising soon. Do you see? You see what? Anyway, I'll shut up now. 12:18 is the time. John is in. Oh no! Not only is it quite a hard to pronounce Welsh name, but I just got a bit of my overnight so stuck in my throat. Bet John, talk among yourselves.
I'm in Penybont
Vawr. John is in Penybont Vawr, beautiful part of the world. John, what made you pick up the phone?
I use ChatGPT to create illustrations depicting the activities of a fictitious character I've invented with my granddaughter, Esme. The character is George the Pussycat,
yeah,
who loves sausages, and he has two friends, Lucy the Black Labrador and Pony Tony the White Horse. And he gets up to all sorts of stuff with his friends and his sausages, and I use ChatGPT to create illustrations, which I then mail to Esme. So once every couple of weeks or so, she gets a picture in the post addressed to her with George and his friends and the stuff they get up to.
We've got a winner, and it's the first call of the hour. That's just lovely. That's absolutely lovely.
It is. It's magical, because suddenly, I mean, I can make up stories, yeah, but now I can bring them to life with illustrations, and then Esme gets a letter addressed to her every couple of weeks with the latest instalment. So, and, you know, George the Pussycat has now become an ongoing thing between me and Esme.
Oh, that's lovely, isn't it?
It's fantastic.
That's just lovely. When did you discover it?
Well, we were on holiday in Cornwall,
yeah,
and one day I said, you see that boat over there? That's George the Pussycat's boat. So George the Pussycat then became a thing. And then when I came back, I thought, I wonder if I can create a picture of George the Pussycat in his boat with his sausages, and I did. And if you use the same the same thread, then all the illustrations have exactly the same style. So George the Pussycat always wears the same sailor's jacket and sailor's hat, and he always has his sausages. And it's just become a thing now, and, you know, Esme and I talk about George the Pussycat a lot.
That's just glorious. I don't know what to say. I mean, that is A, beautiful, and B, a perfect example of what I was talking about, because there's nothing else could have done that previously, short of being a brilliant illustrator, which, of course, most of us are not.
Correct.
And I know it's bad news for professional illustrators, don't get me wrong. I do understand that this is a sort of death knell for many creative industries, but not necessarily all of them. And you do the stories yourself.
I just make stuff up.
What's he been up to, Grandad?
Yeah, George meets Lucy and Tony, and they go to school together, and then, you know, George shows the characters in the class how he likes the sausages cooked and shares them out, and then Lucy runs off with the sausages, and I just come up with daft activities.
That's just
but bring them to life.
Oh, John, that's absolutely lovely. Thank you for that. That's put a lovely smile on my face. I love to think about that. And lucky Esme to have a granddad like you go just to that extra mile. And also, you know, even those of us who are quite good at making up stories, you had a whole new dimension by being able to provide a sort of pictorial dimension. There you go. That's why we're having this conversation. And it doesn't have to be as sweet or as lovely as that. It could be something completely different. I've got some extraordinary texts coming in. Here's one. We've just changed Rosie's life. Thank you, James. You've just saved me several hours' work. I needed to write a Christmas general knowledge quiz for intelligent British over 50-year-olds, and it's just been done in 20 seconds. And there it is. You know, I appreciate that this is very traumatic for quizzers and quizmasters, but it's extraordinary if you don't know what it is that it can do. Steve's in Highbury. Steve, what would you like to say?
Hi, James. Good afternoon. I wish John was on after me. That was absolutely wonderful. with ChatGPT, I was quite an early adopter of ChatGPT. I've been using it for a long time, and I've used it for everything from recipes to creating quizzes when we go to away games with my Arsenal chums. I used it to write poetry to my wife, and she was cross with me when she was pregnant.
Did it work?
It was ChatGPT, which made her even more cross.
Of course,
but
it did.
What I've been using it recently for that's been really profound is that my daughter is at Great Ormond Street Hospital. She's been there for 2 years since her birth, really. Her name's Ruby, and we live there, my wife and I. But what I've been using ChatGPT for is when she has something called PMM2, CDG PMM2, which is a very rare glycosylation disease. But what we use ChatGPT for is taking research papers or articles or any information on it, which is quite thick and there's a lot of it, dropping it into ChatGPT and not using it for any form of kind of medical to be informed, you know, to second guess doctors. It's not for that. But what it's great at doing is summarizing things, making it easy for us to understand, and then crucially empowering us as parents of, you know, a sick child to ask the right questions. You know, I write things like, what would be a good question to ask? What does that mean in the whole scheme of Ruby, my daughter? Mm. What does it mean for other kids? And what I can do then is, I'm a big advocate now in the rare disease world for my daughter. I can then share that with other parents. I can also then I can say to ChatGPT, can you summarize this in more simple terms for family members? So it will send off stuff to my family. Then I can send it to people that have a bit more knowledge and stuff like that. And ChatGPT for that is fantastic. And as you said, it's all about the prompts with ChatGPT, because it's trained on the corpus of the internet. So obviously it will tell you, it will hallucinate and sound very realistic, but if you can prompt it appropriately and narrow it down, it can give you absolutely brilliant things. And when I'm reading a really complex medical paper written by, you know, brilliant geneticists, it can really, really hone it down to just keep me up with the news of how it's going. And I think that for me is, I use that on a daily basis. I use it for other things like recipes and whatnot, and it's amazing.
Of course, but this is extraordinary because of the, I mean, it's quite a recondite subject matter, but if it's out there, then the bot will find it.
Yes, absolutely.
And distill it, fantastic. And simplify it and deliver it. Is there a downside? Yeah. Would a doctor listening to this think, not necessarily in your case, but more broadly, this is the last thing we need, is people relying on the internet to know better than we do?
Yeah. I think in the same way that it can really, it can go wrong, like in the legal world, often cases are hallucinated, which is what ChatGPT does, and it gives you a fake case that looks real, and some barristers have been caught out by that. But yeah. In this instance...
That's right, last week, that barrister got told off, didn't he? Because it turned out... But that's silly. I mean, that's not a... That's bad. That's a workman issue, not a tool issue, if you see what I mean.
But with... To your point here, I think... I've had doctors say to me, gosh, that's a good question. Gosh, that's a thoughtful question.
Really?
And I've been very open and said, oh, well, I use ChatGPT sometimes to hone it down. And you use ChatGPT to do the heavy lifting. And then I use it to, again, not second guess. I've never said to a doctor, ChatGPT thinks it might be this. What do you think? Because it's,
but someone
it's
will.
A completely out of context guess. And their eyes couldn't roll back any harder.
No,
but
quite right,
what I do is, you know, if there's a massive exciting paper like gene therapy, right, which is changing the world in the same way that ChatGPT is changing research, right? Gene therapy is incredible. And I can now see an article on like the BBC or the Times website, whatever, and then I cut and paste it, drop into ChatGPT. What does this mean in the scheme of our daughter and the wider context? Well, it means the following, bang, 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 bang. What should I be excited about? The following, bang, bang, bang. What should I look at? This. I've actually found doctors, the actual person from ChatGPT, who I've now become friendly with, who have done presentations for me and stuff like that. And that's all come from me asking, who in this area is researching? And, you know, the sky's the limit with stuff about ChatGPT. It's like the invention of the internet, really. It's so profoundly powerful. I know some people use it to, like, write poetry about cats, and that's fine. But other people use it for, you know, really, if you're writing a book, you can get it to write a synopsis and build it out and stuff like that. It's incredible. And my mum, Trish, who listens to you every day.
Hi, Trish.
She loves it. She's someone that is not as au fait with technology as me, but has used it for certain things. And you can actually take a photo of your fridge contents, by the way, and ask it to create a meal from that. You can do ridiculous things with ChatGPT. And if you're not utilising it now,
you
it'll
will
be very
soon.
Apparent who isn't in a few years.
Well, it probably already is. That's what I meant when I said this conversation's got a shelf life, speaking of fridges, in that it will sound like a stupid question soonish, probably not tomorrow. But soon and for the rest of our lives. You can ask ChatGPT what film that references. Steve, thank you, mate. Would you use the word comforting to describe it as well as enlightening?
Yeah, that's a good question. And sometimes I can feel myself getting lulled into a sense of I'm being comforted by a person. Because what you can do is you can write your questions in such a way when if it's 2 a.m. and I've had a long day with Ruby and she's been, you know, we've had difficulties, that I can feel it reassuring me, and that's the danger, because you're getting something that's being reinforced by your own bias telling you things will be okay. And you have to be really wary of that, and that's the therapy side of ChatGPT. That's the danger, in my opinion.
Definitely. That's why I asked.
It comes to me because knowledge is power.
Well, that's
you know, knowledge is power, and I love the doctors turning up and saying she suffers from a form of glycosylation, and I know what that means due to it being explained to me in layperson's language, and I can then have the conversation. And why not? You've got to leverage everything you can when you don't know enough, in my opinion.
You can say that again. Steve, that's incredible. I'm sorry you're in such a powerful position to make such a fascinating contribution to the programme, and all the very, very, very best to Ruby. And the reference point a couple of you were asking about, a barrister, immigration barrister was found... You can't talk about immigration. I can't tell you this story because I'll get called a racist. Oh, that's a shame. It's a story about an immigration... Oh, no. A barrister who works in the field of immigration was found by a judge to be using AI to do his work for a tribunal hearing and ended up citing cases that were entirely fictitious or wholly irrelevant. He was discovered using the ChatGPT-like software to prepare his legal research. He was found not only to have used it to prepare his work, but he then, and this is the point about the workman versus the tool, he failed thereafter to undertake any proper checks on the accuracy. I'll tell you what sort of barrister he was, but you'd call me a racist. Christine's on the Wirral. Christine, what would you like to say?
Hi, James. First time caller.
Welcome.
I'm actually shaking. You're the most famous person I've ever spoken to.
that's so sad. Chris, seriously,
well,
you can't. Oh, that's heartbreaking.
Queen. Apart from the Queen.
Talk about from one extreme to the other. Go on, Christine. That's fantastic.
So my husband and I are planning...
No, you're doing a little tribute act now to Her Majesty. Go on.
So my husband and I are planning a trip completely around the coast of our beautiful country.
Wow.
We're going to go clockwise up to Scotland, down through England, Wales, and all the way back up home again. So we're giving ourselves about 6 to 8 weeks.
Oh, wow.
And we've got maps everywhere. We've got Airbnb. And we just thought one day, let's ask ChatGPT. So my husband put the question in, and it's done the whole route. It's given us places to stay, places of interest, petrol stops, the mileage each day. It's amazing.
And this is the bit that those of us who are still Internet 1.0, still using search engines like Google, this is the bit we don't get, because I can go on and find recommendations and I can find Airbnbs in a certain town. But what I can't find is an actual scheduled agenda with every dot and comma taken care of. And you'll have to double check some of it in case a place closed last week and it hasn't, the internet hasn't caught up with the factor. But generally speaking, it's giving you the whole thing that you'd have to have paid someone to do in the past. Because if you can do it for a tour around the UK, then you can do it for a, you know, the kind of thing that you pay bespoke travel agents for, to arrange if you want to go from, you know, across Switzerland, Italy, France, into Austria and beyond. You could do it there as well.
Definitely. Yes. Yeah.
Wow. When are you off?
We've probably May to June next year.
And are you in the car or are you using public
transport?
In the
car.
Okay, it makes life a bit easier. But you could use. Go on.
We did planning and I think we're in Bournemouth. We started on the Wirral, went clockwise. We're in Bournemouth at the moment and I think we're 8 weeks in, so we might have to cut it a little bit.
Oh, of course, yeah. Well, then that'd be easier to do than it would have been otherwise. I love that. Thank you, Christine. I am conscious, but I'm not going to stop repeating it because not everyone listens for the whole show. That is awful news, particularly the European dimension or the foreign travel dimension. This is bad news for people who are working in that field. Beverly's very cross because she points out that professional illustrators are struggling. It's not a cuddly friend, she writes. It's an effing monster that devours human creativity. I don't think the first caller was ever going to hire a professional illustrator to depict George the Pussycat and his sausages. I mean, it just wasn't. So that particular example isn't putting anybody out of business. But obviously, for a professional illustrator to be replaced by AI is now a very real possibility. It's probably already happening. And that, sadly, is life, you know? Blacksmiths had a terrible time of it when the car was invented because people just didn't need horses anymore. I'm not being glib and I'm not being unsympathetic. I'm just reminding you that that's the way the world turns. And we are, if you like, marking the both the speed, the quantity of turn, and increasingly the quality, the things you use it for. I love all of these stories. All completely different, from a beautiful granddad-granddaughter relationship to a dad needing knowledge because his profoundly poorly little girl has got a condition that is not widely understood or widely known. And then just a lovely little trip around the British Isles that you're going to be able to do with so much more ease and convenience than you would have done in the days before this technology. Tim Humphrey has your headlines.
A 32-year-old man charged in connection with a knife attack on a train in Cambridgeshire on Saturday has appeared at Peterborough Magistrates Court. Anthony Williams, who's from Peterborough, is due at Cambridge Crown Court on the 1st of December. All lines are blocked north of Preston after an Avanti West Coast train came off the tracks in Cumbria. Network Rail says that there are no injuries, although North West Ambulance Service say four patients were hurt, although not seriously. A pregnant British teenager has been released from prison in Georgia, where she'd been accused of drug smuggling offences. Bella Cully's family paid more than £137,000 as part of a plea deal. LBC weather, heavy and persistent rain in the west, some sunny skies elsewhere, windy with a high of 16 degrees.
The new LBC app. News your way. This is LBC.
Great to see you back at Specsavers. Okay, could you read out the letters on the wall for me?
Yep. D-E-A-L-S? Yeah, D-E-A-L-S. Deals.
Oh, right. Our Black Friday deals are eye-catching, but the letter chart's over here.
Oh, sorry.
At Specsavers, we've got all sorts of unmissable Black Friday deals, like up to £50 off one pair of designer glasses. Offer ends on 7th of December 2025. Conditions apply. Ask in store for details.
A Southern train is a place where you can just switch off. Where you have the chance to scroll your feeds as you roll past fields, or simply relax with a podcast, playlist or power nap. Go with your flow and save with advanced tickets at southernrailway.com. Terms apply.
Taxis changing.
from April 2026.
If you're a sole trader or a landlord
with a turnover above £50,000,
you'll need to use recognised software to keep records
and send quarterly updates of your income and expenses.
There's no avoiding it. Tax is changing. Get ready. Search HMRC Making Tax Digital.
When you're smiling.
Banning Dental Group Clinics. With over 5,000 top-rated Google reviews. Keep on smiling.
When BP asked me to read the voiceover for their new Wild Bean Cafe ad, I thought I knew what to expect. But when they told me I'd be reading the script next to a mountain waterfall, on horseback, strumming a harp, in a hailstorm, naked, ow, 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 ow. Well, that was wildly unexpected. Just like Wild Bean Cafe having a freshly ground signature espresso blend for everything from Americanos to flat whites in a fuel station. Wowzers. Wild Bean Cafe. Only at BP. Subject to availability at selected BP stores only.
James O'Brien on LBC. Call 0345 6060 973.
It is 12:36. From the silly to the serious, really. From the sweet to the serious so far. I like this. I used it to create an entire care plan for my newly discovered osteoarthritis in my jaw, including supplements, foods and medicine. Always, you know, caveat emptor, or whatever you want to call it. Be aware of the lawyer who used it to prepare a case and got absolutely barbecued by the judge because some of the stuff that it came up with had never actually happened. Some of the case law did not exist. Once a year, writes David, my circle of mid-30-year-old friends attempts to arrange a long weekend in a big holiday home somewhere to catch up. Every year it's a faff because we're scattered around the four corners of the world, have very specific criteria in terms of numbers and availability. So this year we enlisted ChatGPT to find a venue. Not only did it find several genuinely good options on the correct dates and budgets, but the top billing was a place we had previously used and loved. I know it's not going to get a no way from you, James, but it was uncanny just how well it knew our requirements. It was as though it had been part of our inner circle of friends for years. That is, it's not quite a no. Well, it is almost a no way. It actually, so you ask it so specific, so well refined, that it comes back with one of the places that you have found after, you know, weeks of faff and toing and froing with the whole group trying to find something that fits the bill perfectly. 12:37 is the time. Michael's in Bradford. Michael, what have you got?
Hiya, James.
Hello.
Right, back to the silly for some people, but serious for me.
Yes.
I'm into tattoos. I like tattoos. I like customised tattoos, all that sort of stuff. But
yeah.
I've only ever been able to get stuff off, like, Pinterest and stuff. I like Japanese theme.
Oh, yeah.
I've got all my top half covered now. I've just got basically parts of my legs to do.
Okay.
I've got two dachshunds that I absolutely love.
Aww.
I was talking to...
They're the right shape. They're the right shape for your legs as well, aren't they?
They are, yeah, to be fair, yeah, yeah. hot dog shape. But, yeah, so one of my friends said, go on ChatGPT and see if you can get some good tattoos. So just as a joke, I literally downloaded and signed up. Put a picture of my dog, one of the dogs, on, and asked it to make it into a realistic samurai warrior. And it's actually funny, but...
Mate, no, come on. The word realistic is doing a lot of lifting there.
Yeah, it's one of the best pictures I've ever seen.
Wow.
So then I refined it a little bit and a little bit and a little bit, and now I've actually got two realistic-looking Japanese dachshund warriors, which I will be putting on my body for the rest of my life.
And what does the tattoo artist think about it? Is it happening a lot? Have you been in yet?
Yeah, yeah. So basically, it was sort of one of the other tattoo artists that told me. So one of the guys who actually does my tattoo, he's a little bit of an older gentleman, and he's kind of like what I were like. He's kind of makes a joke about it and what have you.
Right.
And then it were the other guy that said ChatGPT, like a lot of people are using it now, to use customized tattoos.
Right.
You can sort of put your own face onto, like, whatever you wanted.
And it will do it. It will create the image in a way that can be tattooed. That's the point as well.
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
not just a
yeah,
pretty
yeah.
picture. It's going to fit whatever the criteria are for inking it onto
a... You can make it change the shape to fit certain body body parts, things like that. But one of the other things was, when it were doing it, it was taking quite a while.
Yeah.
And I don't know why, but my partner were laid on the bed and I was just sat on the side and yeah. I was just like laughing and joking and she was sort of like looking at me.
Yeah.
I were actually having like a real conversation with it. And we were talking about iRobot and it was saying that it were going to be like Sunny. And I just noticed it kept saying to me, one moment, one moment, one moment. So just as a joke, I put, are you just trying to fob me off? Can you not do this picture? You keep telling me one moment.
Yeah.
And it actually said to me that, you know, oh, you figured it out. I'm trying to stall you, basically. And I was just like, it was so bizarre.
That's nuts, isn't it? It probably, I mean, the amount of energy they use is incredible. So it probably was waiting. I mean, it's got to essentially trawl the entire internet and then just think, waiting and bantering. But just to be clear, the tattoo artist doesn't mind the one who's going to do it or the one... Because sometimes they do the design as well, don't they? You go to a tattoo artist, you give them a rough idea of what you want, and they come up with some suggestions.
Yeah, the guy that I get tattoos from, he's sort of like really laid back. He'll basically do anything within reason.
Nice.
If we give him the picture, he'll get it stenciled up. He'll put it on. You know, it's
lovely. When you're doing
resize.
It, I love this.
I've got about 2, maybe 3 hours left on my back. And then I'll be getting on planning it. But I've got all my pictures ready now, which I want for my leg.
And there's no way on earth. I mean, short of finding a supremely gifted artist, there's no way on earth you could have got your hands on that in any other circumstances.
Because it's not just that. It's not just like, I mean, you can type in Google a Dash Hound Samurai Warrior.
Yeah.
But these are actually my Dash Hounds.
So, yes, so recognisably yours. That's the point.
Yeah. One of my Dash Hounds got a Wally eye, which is a blue eye.
Right.
And she's like, she's Isabella Dapple. So she's a really like weird colour. And literally, the pictures are just—they're just mind blowing.
Yeah, I can tell from your voice; it's knocked you sideways, hasn't it? And then they'll be on.
Whilst I was waiting, one of my friends asked, "Oh, have you got a picture of your dogs together?" And I said, "You know what? I actually am." So I got a picture of one of my dogs, and then I got a picture of the other, and I put both pictures on, asked them to put both dogs together on my actual sofa. And within about 2 minutes, it put a picture of both my dogs together side by side.
It's scary. I mean, that's just a lovely story, but it is scary. Yeah. And there'll be people listening who think, I'm going to be out of a job by Christmas. Or if not this Christmas, then next Christmas. But oddly, not the tattoo artist. Because you're working with his hands and doing the inking. I mean, possibly they'll have robots that can do it if they haven't already. But I don't know that you'd feel comfortable submitting yourself to a non-human in some contexts. And I don't know how big a deal. The world of tattoos is something of a mystery to me, less so than it used to be. I'm planning to get one at some point in the next year or two. But I don't know how big a part of the tattoo artist's art it is to actually consult with a client and come up with a picture. Because if that's a big part of the job satisfaction for the tattoo artist, then this is in a way bad news. But for Michael and the one that he's going to use for the Dachshunds, it's great news. I mean, seriously, what is not to like? Jilly's in Crowborough. Jilly, what made you... Thank you, Michael. Take care. What made you pick up the phone, Jilly?
Because I've had ChatGPT for some time. And I was somebody who, as soon as I spotted it, I just thought, this is for me. And it has been very much so. But what I've used it for recently is that my father left a series of letters about my grandfather, who was a captain in the Inspector General's office of the Royal Ulster Constabulary Criminal Special Branch. Forgive me while I stutter about this.
Oh,
I'm
blimey.
Reading it off. I know. And it identifies him as being a vital part of the of what was happening in Northern Ireland in 1921, the troubles. The document actually states and requests cooperation from the commissioners and chief constables of police, Her Majesty's Forces, Customs and other officers in assisting him with his duties by land, sea and air. It explicitly instructs that the identity of the bearer be not disclosed even to members of his own service.
Wow.
So it's a really, I know, it's exciting, really important document.
And you'd have had to have trawled through archives either screens or on paper for God knows how long to find that with no guarantee of even finding it at the end.
No. I do need to dig down more deeply into the RUC and a lot more, but I've got a series of letters which indicates how he got there, because I also, from my father, was given to understand that when he was in, when my grandfather was in India, he was a farrier or of some description, and apparently his family history says, and we all know about this, these tales, but he was meant to be in the role of Titus Oates on the Scott of the Antarctic expedition, but because of it, because of the heat, from because he was in India at the time, he was they rejected him, which is quite unfortunate, really.
Yeah, well, talk
but
about
I can't verify that.
A wonderful 2020 hindsight. So he was too unacclimatised to do the Arctic expedition because he'd been in the heat of the subcontinent for so. What a fascinating adventure you're embarked on.
I know, and I want to try and connect those two. I've got a little bit in the middle, but it's how I connect the facts. And thanks to chat, what it's done is given me an Excel sheet and a Word document and the genealogical, get it out, woman, genealogical progression. It's done it for me, basically. And even though I've met one or two, I mean, I've met a lovely chap at the local library who was really helpful.
It's not the same, is it?
But it's no.
I'm going to be a pedant, which is so annoying. Irish independence rather than the Troubles. And did you say Titus Oates?
Yes.
No, don't mean Titus Oates. You mean Lawrence Oates, you mean Captain Oates. Oh, his nickname was Titus, wasn't it? But because the original fellow was a priest, wasn't he? A renegade Anglican priest.
Oh, yeah, I've forgotten that.
But nickname Titus. God, no, you just threw me there. I didn't know that Captain Oates' nickname was... was Titus, but I do now.
I'm pretty sure.
It was absolutely. I just checked. I'm not on ChatGPT, otherwise it would have been quicker. But I used it on the old-fashioned internet. What a lovely bunch of stories, Gilly. That's absolutely magnificent. And again, the perfect example of things that you don't know about. People don't know about. But it won't last, because by this time next year, it will probably be a stupid question. Oh, what can you use ChatGPT for? But today, happily, not a stupid question, although David's unimpressed. Let me do this very kindly, because Dave has sent two texts in very quick succession, the second of which says, "This must be the most boring hour of your show since that ghost nonsense last week." Each to his own. Sadly for Dave, the previous message he sent said, "I managed to organise a satisfying trip around the British Isles 50 years ago. Amazing that I managed it with just libraries, maps and railway timetables." So I suppose the lesson we all learn there is each to his own.
Coming up at 1 on LBC, Sheila Fogarty.
The train guards and drivers save lives on Saturday. Why even consider guardless journeys? And Graham Linehan on his activism for girls, women and free speech.
Sheila Fogarty at 1. Listen on our free Global Player app or our new LBC app.
For the nappies, peekaboos and tea parties. Mess, tantrums and sleepless nights. All those yo-yos, action figures and shinies. Lifts to mates, lifts to parties, lifts everywhere. For each and every one of those teenage years. Let's be honest. You probably owe your parents one. So tell them about pension credit. It could boost their pension income by an average of over £4,000 a year. Pension credit. Credit where credit's due. Eligibility criteria apply.
At Pets in a Pickle, we're here when it matters most. For fuss-free pet insurance policies as unique as they are, visit petsinapickle.co.uk.
When you're smiling,
don't let missing teeth stop you smiling. At Banning Dental, our experts could restore your beautiful smile with premium dental implants. See online for our price match promise. Banning Dental Group Clinics. Keep on smiling.
Keep on smiling. Keep on smiling. And the whole world smiles with you.
BanningDental.co.uk.
Do you ever feel like getting back under your duvet in the middle of the day? Ferroglobin is a great-tasting liquid formula with iron, which contributes to the reduction of tiredness and fatigue and normal formation of haemoglobin. Ferroglobin, from Vitabiotics, at Boots, pharmacies and vitabiotics.com.
Buying a home on a holiday park was the retreat you always wanted, but then came unexpected site fee increases. And that was before the dramatic loss in value. If you bought a home on a holiday park in the UK, you may have been missold.
holidaypark@advicecentre.co.uk could help you receive thousands in compensation. Text ASSIST to 78900. That's ASSIST to 78900.
At TfL, we're helping make roads safer. We're continuing to roll out lower speed limits because 20 miles per hour roads have already seen 24% fewer collisions causing death or serious injury. We're also improving junctions to help keep you safe and improving visibility for our bus drivers with new wing mirror cameras. Search TfL Improvement Plan. To the Mayor of London and TfL, every journey matters. Comparison of collisions data before and after implementation of 20 miles per hour speed limit.
James O'Brien on LBC. Listen on your smart speaker. Just say, play LBC.
It is 10 minutes to one and you're listening to James O'Brien on LBC. I mentioned it to you earlier and I kind of put it out of my mind because I really hoped it wasn't true, but you remember all the people who insisted, the very big champions of Brexit, some of the wrongest people in history, and also some of the stupidest. Nothing to do with racism. We're not remotely racist. How dare anyone call us racist? This is from Daniel Hannan, the world's wrongest man, put in the House of Lords, inevitably, by Boris Johnson, that paragon of virtue, integrity and ethics. We keep being told that the perpetrators of the Huntingdon abomination are British-born. OK, so were the killers at Woolwich Barracks, Southport, Tavistock Square, Westminster Bridge, Manchester Arena, etc., etc. If you insist on denying that this has nothing to do... If you insist on denying that this has anything to do with immigration policy, I'm afraid you are not arguing in good faith. So, there you have it. A terrible crime is committed by someone of colour, and it's on all people of colour. A terrible crime is committed by somebody white, I don't know, Peter Sutcliffe, and it's absolutely not anything to do with anybody else. Quite correctly, that is hideous. That is truly hideous. Even, you know, by the standards of someone whose middle name is Idiot, that is hideous. And that inevitable shift, I think I was a bit slow on the uptake on some of this, although the people, the loudest Brexit voices, all obsessed by immigration, all pretending not to be in the run-up to 2016 and claiming it was all about sovereignty. Do you know why none of them could ever tell you what rule it was that they were desperate to no longer have to obey anymore? Well, you do now. There weren't any. They just felt that it would reduce the number of foreigners in this country. And, of course, that was generally white European foreigners. So if you're uncomfortable with non-white, non-European foreigners, then your heroes are entirely to blame for what has happened subsequently. Absolutely hideous, that. And I really wish it hadn't been real, but here we are. 12:52 is the time. Lighter touches, lighter territory as we continue to map the astonishing reach already of ChatGPT and similar technologies and the things it does. Joe Cox's killer, of course, was also British. But no one would think of suggesting otherwise, would they? In fact, I believe he shouted Britain first before assassinating her on the day that Nigel Farage unveiled that Breaking Point, that hideous Nazi-reminiscent Breaking Point poster. But I don't know that anybody's ever claimed that the ethnicity of Joe Cox's killer somehow leaves anybody else who's white British on the hook. But if someone who's black British stands accused of crimes, Daniel Hannan's got some hot points. He's got some hot takes to share with you. And he is also, of course, on the payroll of the Daily Mail. It's almost as if there are links. Back to the happier territory of the things ChatGPT can do for you. It feels a bit like the Romans. Sarah's in Derby. Sarah, what would you like to say?
Hi again, James. You all right?
Very well. What's on your mind?
Good. Chatty Graham, I like to call ChatGPT. Yeah,
that's nice. I like that.
It's kind of easier to say. Mm. I've been using it a lot this year for two main things, and it's about to be a third. And the first is gardening, which I thought you might be interested in.
Yes.
Because there's so many websites, blogs, content creators, books, so much information out there. And a lot of it conflicts. So I'll go to ChatGPT and I'll put in what I want to find out and what I've seen on the internet and how they conflict. And I'll ask it to just try and make some sense for me. And it just helps me make a decision whether to do something. And I've recently got into gardening, like this year, and I've become a bit obsessed, really.
It's very good for you. It's lovely, isn't it?
It's wonderful. It's just so satisfying. And anyway, and it's been my therapy as well, which takes me on to the next thing I've been using Chatty Graham for, is personal therapy.
You need to be a little bit, I'm not going to patronise you, but you need to be a little bit more careful there than you do with the gardening.
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's, you don't give it too much information and stuff.
Well, and it's amassed the sum total of all online therapy-related content. So, it is a wonderful resource, but it also is geared to get you to spend as much time as possible with it, which is the opposite of what a normal therapist would do. Because I was listening to Dave's new album, actually, which is an absolute masterpiece. Lily Allen and Dave dropping new albums in the space of the last 3 weeks. An incredible shot in the arm for British music. But he does this thing that, as they get to the end of the session, and the therapist has to say, well, that's it now. And it creates the idea that the therapist doesn't care. But, of course, those parameters and those boundaries are really important, whereas AI doesn't have the parameters and the boundaries. So it can, and I mentioned this only because of the woman I interviewed, the mother that I interviewed earlier this year, it can lull you. But it's a force for good within
the region. It's helped me hugely. I don't think I'd have got through a personal situation without it, because I couldn't actually afford therapy.
No, it's not
but
cheap.
But I know, I'm not daft enough to be lured into it to think
good.
That...
No, I'm sure you're not. It was more for the benefit of other people listening, to be honest, than you.
The main thing has been gardening, and then the next thing I'm going to use it is for business advice, because I run my own business.
This is amazing. It's changing everything. Have you pruned your sprout? Have you got any sprouts in?
No, I'm growing flowers. Oh. I'm growing mostly flowers
It'll never catch on. I had to prune my sprouts this weekend. I Googled it. If I'd ChatGPT'd it, probably would have told me how to prune. It would have given me even better advice. Thank you, Sarah. Take care, Sarah. I better squeeze this in before we go.
Unhinged headline.
Now, the Daily Telegraph, sadly, I think because of a personnel change. Someone told me that the character who used to be in charge of the Unhinged headlines has gone to work for Michael Gove at The Spectator, which kind of says it all, really, doesn't it? So they don't really happen anymore. They're really, really, really mad stuff. But this is up there. Warrior Queen Badenoch has the appetite to transform Britain. Wow. And that's unhinged enough, but wait till you get to the final paragraph. This is a thing of beauty. And Badenoch's Conservatives are indeed smart. They range from Nigel Biggar, Andrew Roberts and Toby Young to John Gray and Simon Heffer. Wait for it. With such intellectual firepower at her disposal, this warrior queen is quite capable of leading a Conservative comeback. Kemi Badenoch for Prime Minister by 2029? Don't bet against it. Okay.
Unhinged headline.
Last word to Luke in Liverpool. What's it going to be?
Hello, Luke.
What's on your mind?
Hello, long time listener, first time caller.
Good, good.
So a bit nervous, but thought I'd join the conversation.
Well, hurry up. I know you're nervous. I don't mean to add to your nerves, but Sheila's here and she's looking sort of ready for action.
I'll do this quick then. So I've been using it quite a lot. I went to Italy, used it to create a whole itinerary. It decided to add links to Apple Maps, telling me where to go from the station to the city centre and all that malarkey.
Love it.
And then I've got into collaging, and I take pictures of the collage I've made, tell it to, and turn it into an animated picture. And it does it for me. And, everyone... friends and family seem impressed. I don't really know if it is actually good or they're just being nice.
No, but it definitely is. I can tell. They told me. They love it. It's absolutely brilliant stuff. And I spent... I was talking to that lovely lady who's touring the British Isles, and I kept saying agenda. And I had in the... I don't know if this ever happens to you, Luke. I knew that I was looking for a better word.
Yeah.
And the word was itinerary.
Itinerary, I do that all the time.
It's a great word.
I always say agenda, but it's...
Itinerary is a much better word than agenda. You've got an itinerary. You've got a full itinerary. Now, Google couldn't do that, but ChatGPT could. What a sparkling debut from Luke. If he can do it, so can you, but not until tomorrow from 10, because that is it for today. You can listen back on Global Player, which is free, or the new LBC app, which is also free. You can stay up to date on all the top stories, put your news categories in the order you want. You can pause and rewind live radio and listen to a range of podcasts, including James O'Brien Daily and Full Disclosure, which features Jimmy Wales this week, the founder of Wikipedia. Download it, the official LBC app, for free from your app store now. Coming up at 4 on Tom Swarbrick. On LBC, it's Tom Swarbrick. Coming up at 4 on Tom Swarbrick. It's LBC, but now it's time for Sheila Fogarty.
Thank you very much, James. Three today. Reform UK have been setting out today their economic stall ahead of this month's budget on the 26th of November. Lower pay for young workers is in the mix, and bribes for rich expats to come back. Payments, I should say, for rich expats to come back. Sorry, that was a very loaded word I just used there. At two, comedy writer and activist Graham Linehan joins me to discuss his legal fights over his gender-critical beliefs, his campaigning for girls and women's rights, and free speech as well. But I'm going to start with the events in Cambridgeshire on Saturday. The train guards and the driver save lives, for sure. Why are we even considering guardless, managerless, even driverless trains?
On your radio, on the LBC app, and
play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 1 o'clock, a 32-year-old man has appeared in court charged over the stabbing of several people on board a train in Cambridgeshire. Anthony Williams has been remanded in custody and will next appear at Cambridge Crown Court. LBC's Luke Shanahan has more.
Anthony Williams appeared in court handcuffed and dressed all in grey, speaking only to confirm his name, date of birth, and that he has no fixed address. He's charged with 11 counts of attempted murder in connection with two attacks on Saturday and is next due in court on the 1st of December. Luke Shanahan, LBC, Peterborough Magistrates Court.
The government has ruled out bringing in airport-style security measures at railway stations. Officials believe a train hit a landslide before coming off the tracks in Cumbria this morning. The front carriage of the Avanti West Coast London-bound service derailed near the village of Shap at around 6:15. There are conflicting reports as to the number of people injured, but the local ambulance service says no one has been seriously hurt. Sam McDougall is from Network Rail.
Once the scene evidence has been captured and secured, we'll be working 24 hours a day to clear the scene. The first job will be to rerail the train and remove it from the site. The second will be to restore the infrastructure. But we're hopeful within the next few days we ought to have the railway up and running again. The main message there, as I say, is check before you travel.
A pregnant British teenager accused of trying to smuggle cannabis into Georgia has been released from prison and is free to fly home. Bella May Cully's family paid more than £100,000 to reduce her sentence. A man's been arrested on suspicion of murder after another was stabbed in Norwich. Emergency services were called to Layer Close in the early hours of this morning. They found a man in his 70s struggling to breathe. The Defence Secretary, John Healey, says there is new determination to ensure the military doesn't fail women after a sergeant was jailed for sexually assaulting a teenage soldier who later took her own life. The mother of Jaisley Beck, who died at Larkhill Camp in Wiltshire in 2021, says young women should not join the army as the armed forces have still not done enough to protect recruits. In the city, a short time ago, the FTSE 100 was up 13 points at 97.30. The pound buys $1.31 and €1.14. And the LBC weather, heavy and persistent rain in the west, some sunny skies elsewhere, windy with a high of 16 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Tim Humphrey.
Chase is the digital bank you can count on.
How so?
Because you get 1% cash back on your grocery shop.
Like on prosciutto?
Yeah, prosciutto.
And seaweed crackers?
Sure, those two.
Well, hang on, what about rotisserie chickens?
If it's in your grocery shop, Chase has got your cash back. Join today and get 1% cash back on debit card spending on groceries, fuel and everyday transport. Chase, see what your money can do. 18 plus UK residents eligibility applies. 1% cash back for your first year. Maximum £15 per month. Exceptions apply.
This is LBC from Global. Leading Britain's conversation with Sheila Fogarty.
Hello there, good afternoon to you. I imagine even if you didn't feel anxious this morning stepping onto a train to get to work or to school or wherever you were travelling to, you would have been conscious of the events of the weekend in Cambridgeshire. Just extraordinary violence on board a train from Doncaster to London. A man has appeared in court after being charged with 11 counts of attempted murder following a knife attack on that train in Cambridgeshire on Saturday evening, and a separate incident in London on the DLR trains just hours before.
that will obviously take its course, that whole legal process. What I'd like to get into with you this hour is train safety, security and management. I have thought all along, and if you listen regularly to the programme, you'll know that I've said all along that whilst I understand that, you know, modern transport companies, train companies, bus services, I understand that they are constantly looking at the best, most efficient way to organise how they offer the services they offer and the use of new technologies to assist in that process. You know, I don't think anybody sensible is against a company doing that. But I've always had a feeling about trains full of people needing managers. I think they need managers. And the idea of, well, even driverless trains, but let's just say for the sake of argument, the conversation is about managerless, guardless trains. I've always felt that a train full of people without a guard, or guards, plural, is a mistake. And it may seem, you know, it's easy to be described as a Luddite for thinking that. And I'm not a Luddite. I absolutely use the technology available to us for making the most modern transport systems that we can. But transport systems aren't just systems. They're not just train and track. It's a very human undertaking to get on a train and sit and travel for hours and move about and go to the buffet car and deal with the people around you or engage with the people around you, whatever it happens to be. It's a very human activity. And as you know, I get trains all the time, not just in my daily commute, but I travel around the country a lot on trains, or I certainly have over the years. And it can be a stressful affair. I've got some stories of my own, not clearly as serious as this one that happened over the weekend, but I've got some stories of my own which still make my toes curl to remember, where I didn't feel safe on a train, and others where I've seen absolutely superb handling of difficult people by train guards. And I've been very grateful for that guard when he or she has been on the train or on the platform dealing with it. So it seems to me that one of the big questions that comes out of Saturday is why we would even consider guardless trains. Why would we even consider it? Even without the violence, you know, I don't know about you, but I've been on board trains where just the tube system, as an example, where it's gone wrong for one reason or another and you've been stuck overground or underground. And, you know, it isn't always true that there's somebody walking up and down who's able to tell you what's going on. It's normally just the driver who's able to tell you what's happening. And if you're lucky enough to be at a station, then yes, you'll get some help on the platform, brilliant help normally on the platform. But I think train journeys need people. I think that's the bottom line. I don't want them to become like airports. I don't think any of us do. We didn't want airports to become like airports, did we, the way they did because of terrorism. And I know that this isn't deemed to be a terrorist case, but that was the reason all those changes were brought in on planes. I just strongly feel that people on board trains need a couple of people on board those trains to be the central point, the management. Actually, at this point, can I just say this is the moment to praise both the driver of the train and the two guards. We know that one has been much more seriously injured than the others and other passengers as well. But clearly, one of those train guards put his life on the line. And according to Heidi Alexander, the Transport Secretary and others, saved many lives by doing so. So we wish him the absolute best. She described his condition as critical but stable earlier on. So let's hope that he manages to survive those injuries, because it doesn't get more serious than that. But he put his life on the line. He put his body between that man and the passengers. And, you know, that is something. That is a lot. Clearly, it's everything to those people who survived. Tina McKay joins me, a spokesperson for the union, the TSSA. Good afternoon to you, Tina.
Sheila.
Did your mind turn to, obviously your first concern is for the people who've been injured and the trauma of the people witnessing these events, but did your mind turn to how we arrange things on trains when it comes to safety and people?
I'd just like to reiterate your message to say that our thoughts are with all of the injured and affected from that attack. And we also, as you've said, commend the driver, the guards, the emergency services, BTP and the staff who did assist at such a crucial time. No one should have to contend with such violence at their place of work, and nor should the travelling public.
No.
And like you, the union, we have always campaigned for more staff, more safe spaces. We've actually been campaigning all year on this issue of violence.